Hello. Hello. Play. Yeah, you know that sound. You know what that means. All right, everybody. Hi, it's me, Tom. What's going on? It's the best show. We're still here. We've been here for a long time, right? Right, Mike? But are we losing strength or are we gaining strength? We're gaining strength. It's like Hulk Hogan. He gets knocked down and he's hurt. And then he gets, the ref holds his arm up and he's for all intents and purposes, deceased. Then he holds his arm up again and his arm falls like a dead fish just the way there's no life left in this. And then going counter to the entire human experience, he holds his arm a third time and it stays up in the air. He's back and he gets up and he fights harder. That's what we do right here. Not unlike our friend Terry Bollea, the great Hulk Hogan, COO of Gawker Media, Hulk Hogan.
I really need to see some copy on that. Let me read the article on the thing.
Can you imagine Hulk Hogan read? Oh, look, I don't want to make fun of this guy. I'll end up on the best show. Right? Make fun of Hulk Hogan too much. I'll be in court. Next thing you know, it'll be like,
hey, it's the best show with Hulk Hogan. Let's play.
And then he'll start the show with, I am a real American. I want that guy running the best show. He'll run it right into the tank. Right? Right in the tank. Allegedly. Don't come after. If you're going to come after anybody, Hulk Hogan, I want to just say, my name is Dudio. Right now. Go after Dudio, Hulk Hogan. I would love to see Hulk Hogan and Dudio in court squaring off. Mike's laughing at that. Boy, Mike. Then the two of them, Dudio would say, I'm just a guy from West Virginia. I'm from out in the Appalachian, right? Then they'd connect over their West Virginia roots. Although Hulk Hogan's from Florida. I'm sure he's done plenty of wrestling shows out in West Virginia, though. Right? What was the big town out there in West Virginia, Jason? When you grew up in West Virginia, what was the big town you'd go? You'd get in the car and go check out. You'd be all excited. We're going to town. We're going to town. Roanoke, West Virginia. So you'd all pile in the car, and what? You'd be like, they got the movie theater, right? You got the picture shows, mister? And they'd be like, why, yes, tonight's movie is Mannequin 2. But I says to you, enough of that. Let's start the best show, fair and square. We got Chris Gethard in studio. It's going to be a great show. Get ready, sit back, relax, and here comes the best show.
Jersey, back again.
Live Show. How's everybody doing tonight? Here in this September evening, right? Jason, can you come in here, please? Mike, can you hear this? No, that's not going out over there. Can you tell me why? What would it take for me to get this? Oh, I see what it is. I think I already can do it. Output. Beep. Wait, why is it? Shouldn't that go? All right, you do it. Hi, everybody. The phone number, 201-332-3484. Here we are doing the best show as we do it every Tuesday night, and we have been doing it since the beginning of time. What's up? We got a great show for you. Now we got Chris Gethard in studio. We'll bring him in a couple minutes. Be very exciting. Have him in the building. Got AP Mike in the house. AP Mike talking. He's got some exciting news about his new calendar. We're all so thrilled that he has a new calendar coming out. You go to apmike.bandcamp.com to check that out. And we're all so thrilled. And I'm getting these exciting reports back. That people are loving the calendar. It's a hit. They're staring at it. It's really just a blast. It's like a party. It's like the calendar is like a party, I'm hearing. Who did we just hear? I just had to fix the tech thing. Why? Because I had to get a new laptop because the other one stopped working. That was great. That was fun. Great. Yeah, no, yeah, you can stop. What, 4 years? No, stop. By all means, stop working. I got enough out of you. Oh, you're out of warranty now? Yeah, no, you shouldn't work anymore. Drink is much better. Yeah, why would you work? Right? No, I wouldn't want it. It inconvenience you to keep going. No, but and they're twice the price now? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. For a new one? Yeah, please. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it, by all means. Hold on 1 second. I have work stuff going on at the same time. Hold on. I apologize. And I'm trying to get my old fashioned soundboard to play, because if it don't play, how can I play things like this?
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Right? There we go. Now it plays. Or things like this.
Have there been any talks about you returning for a third film in the series? And if you do, will you be cutting Tom Sharpling from that movie too?
Oh, what a hoot. Oh, yeah, when I got cut out of the movie. What a, just a hilarious. Yeah. I'll tell you, man. I'm glad I played this song. I played this song. Remember last week when Allison Crutchfield called, right? We were talking her and Mike Kroll. And we said we were going to play something from her new her record, the return of her band Swearin', right? New album, Fall Into the Sun. Big Change, the name of that song. And Allison said we could play it, even though it was not out just yet. She said we could play it. So I played it. So if that's bad, yell at her. It's great. The record's so good. Thumb Merge. It's gonna be the hit album of the fall, right? Hey, Mike. Who's good here? What's that now? Line one. Let me do this, and then we'll bring our friend Chris Gethard. And Best Show, hi.
Hi. Hello. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
This is Alex from Milwaukee.
Alex from Milwaukee. What's up, Alex?
Just hanging out, actually. Just got my pizza delivered. So.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Got a sausage, mushroom, onion, and black olives.
You can't get black olives on a pizza?
Who says that?
That's the kind of thing that, like, someone in New York would scream at you about.
That's probably not a pizza! You can't get black olives on a pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look, you get whatever you want on a pizza. You know what I like? You know what I like on a pizza? Pineapples. I like that. Now and again. I understand the appeal of it. I want it all the time. But now, if somebody puts it on, I get the appeal.
That's not pizza!
Sure it is. It's pizza with little chunks of pineapples dropped on it. Looks like
yeah, not every time I get it, no, but
of course.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
I won't crucify someone for getting it.
Yeah, so what's going on, my friend?
Just had a long day at work, hanging out, listening to the Best Show.
Yeah. Good, you got a cold brew there? What do you
got?
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Got a couple brew dogs here.
What do you got, Kirkland Light? Ice cold
Kirkland
Light?
From Milwaukee, so can you guess?
You're from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So what do you got? Old Milwaukee?
Nope.
What do you got?
Pabst. Peeber.
Yeah, the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, you buy the Pabst, then you got money left over for other things, right?
Right. Like the pizza.
Yeah, like the pizza, because you do that, and then because the Pabst is it's not too expensive now, right?
No, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Or save that money for the Killers concert I went to last Tuesday.
Well, I don't know why you'd have to save your money unless you owe someone for the ticket.
No, the new Bucks Arena just basically opened up 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and the Killers were the surprise opening show for the arena, so.
Surprise opening show? What, you just bought a ticket? Like, mystery band will be here.
No, we knew for like 2 months, but people were wondering who the first group to play there was, and it was the first show, so we weren't. It was pretty cool. Violent Femmes opened for them.
Did they do When You Were Young?
I don't remember. They played Blister in the Sun, though.
No, not Violent Femmes. The Killers.
Oh, well, yeah, them, yeah.
I don't care about Violent Femmes. Oh, Violent Femmes. Wait, oh, they did Blister in the Sun?
Of course they did. It's their only song.
First, they didn't do six times in a row. Boom, 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 boom. Right?
How old is their lead dude? He looked like he was like 65.
No, I'm sorry, he's not aging to your standard. What are you? Who am I talking to? What are you, a male model?
I wish.
Right? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Gordon Gano doesn't meet your standard of attractiveness.
I'm seeing Metallica in October.
I'm sorry.
Same place.
What happened? You lose a bet? How'd that go down?
No.
No?
Everyone I know that's seen them said they're amazing.
Do you think they'll do that song? So. Think they'll do Master of Puppies, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And Enter the Sandbox.
And Enter. See, that's just silly. Get off my phone. Nice enough guy. Don't have time for that, though. Don't have time for it. Well, the guy's got his comedy routine. I'll make the jokes here. Right, Mike? Jason, could you do me a favor and bring Chris Gethard in, Jason? And then Pat, come in behind Jason with the surprise. Hey. Oh, go sit in the big blue chair. Jason?
Yes.
I want to say this to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank
Happy birthday. Jason had a birthday Sunday night. Saturday. Yeah. Not just night. All day and night.
All Saturday.
24 hours.
Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, you did it.
I did it.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Hey, you're still alive, right?
Exactly.
You did it. We love you.
Thank you, Tom. I love you guys.
Well, that felt a little forced.
It's honest.
It felt a little forced.
I love you.
Hey, Pat, did you get Jason something?
Yes.
What'd you get him?
A six-pack
of Krispy Kreme donuts. Well, look at that. Thank you.
Just like I used to eat in West Virginia.
Just like in West, when he grew up in West Virginia, he'd be like, they got them hot donuts coming out. Let's go watch the donuts get made, right?
Yeah.
The donuts are round like a tire.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Look who's here. Chris Gethard.
Hey, Tom.
What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing all right.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too, always. It's been a little while.
It has.
Yeah.
It's one of Jason's favorite songs. It's been a while. Who was that, Jason? Stained. That's right. He loved all that stuff
coming
up. Those were all his heroes.
Train, Marcy's Playground, and whatnot.
He liked Marcy's Playground. Obviously... Disturbed, Drowning Pool.
And they all tour together now, right?
Limp Bizkit. Yeah, there's usually like some The Virus tour, like some horrifying. But, you know, I always like how those bands start to have to play, even if they don't have the same exact aesthetic, they have to start sharing bills a little bit, where they'll just be like, hey, it's the Bangles are playing with Howard Jones. And you're just like, well, they have a whole lot in common other than the 80s is all they have in common. But now you have to be like, hey, yeah, it's the Thompson Twins are playing with the Stranglers. So.
Do you know my Drew, who writes on my show, Drew Johnson? He's really, really into Train.
Okay.
And he took his fandom far enough that I guess Train put out wine.
Okay.
And he bought and drank the wine to support Train.
He bought and supported Train.
Yeah.
Because they...
He just loves Train.
He just loves Train.
And put a little money in their pocket.
Yeah, and you just picture that guy on a, like, walking the vineyard, the guy in Train, that main guy, wearing like a... He always seemed to have like a black t-shirt on, that guy.
I intentionally know nothing about Train. I don't know a thing about them. And then Drew told me he was really into them. But I love Drew to death, my buddy Drew, but just based on the other music he likes, I just knew Train was not for me.
Yeah. No, he's giving you a heads up to disregard any other music he recommends because you know Train is like the flagship.
Yeah.
Of it.
If they're leading the charge.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of this type of music, have I ever told you, one of the great missed opportunities of the Chris Gethard Show's public access run was I found this crazy band, and they played our show a bunch of times. I won't name names to keep people out of trouble.
Sure.
And I found out that one of the people in it, in this really lunatic performance art project, was also a session musician with Marcy Playground.
Okay.
And I was asking him if he could get them on the show.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I don't know, they're very touchy about stuff. But my plan was to, because we used to have it SNL style, we'd play music in the beginning and the end, songs, and I wanted them to play Sex and Candy twice. Thought that would have been a real good move.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just like...
chomping at the bit.
Can you imagine when they have to, like, they're on stage at their show and they're just like, we got to do Sex and Candy tonight. We got to do it every night. As long as I have a guitar around my, a guitar strap across my shoulder, I know I'm playing Sex and Candy.
Yeah.
Oh.
We did have our most viewed musical performance ever on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the musical clips, over 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Wheatus, Teenage Dirtbag.
That's right.
Which I loved when they played the show.
That's a good song.
It had a lot of hip current stuff on, but Wheatus.
Wheatus just broke away, took the lead.
Yeah.
Never looked back.
Take that, Front Bottoms. Front Bottoms, great dudes.
Well, I just played the swearing
record.
I love Swearin.
I know.
I said I would not end my show until Swearin played the show.
Yes, and I think that did not.
It didn't happen. It came close. I was emailing Allison. I kind of knew in my heart already that the show was done when Swearin announced the reunion, and I emailed Allison and said, this might be perfect timing.
Yeah.
It's maybe a sign that we need to wrap it up, that I said I would never end my show until your band played my show, and then your band broke up and reunited.
In the time.
That I was still schlepping along.
And then, but it was a matter of months, it did not.
Yeah.
Unless there's one final Chris Gethard show.
Who knows?
Right?
I got some ideas.
I know. Look. First of all, let me just say this. Chris is one of the funniest guys ever.
Thanks, Tom.
One of my favorite people ever.
Likewise.
He is... What can't he do at this point? Guy throws it... Look at this. This guy... I'll say this about this guy. He paints himself, oh, nothing goes right for me.
I haven't done that as much the past couple of years.
This guy's got the golden touch. I've never seen anybody who touches anything, it turns to gold.
Really? You never seen anybody? You ever met John Mulaney?
Well, that's true. Okay. Guys like that make...
I would say everything I touch turns to bronze.
Okay, your
turns
to bronze.
I think that's
fair. Okay.
Turns to
everything you touch turns to bronze. A guy like that touches it, turns to gold. He won an Emmy last night.
Yeah. I can solidly come in third place. I will admit
you'll
that.
You'll take that. Okay. See, but I'm in the thing where I touch things made of silver and suddenly it's just like, it gets downgraded past it to like copper. Like, but you, this guy says, oh, I guess I'll do a podcast. The thing blows up. Biggest podcast going. Beautiful, anonymous. And get this.
It's not the biggest.
He doesn't even do it. Gives a phone number out.
Yeah.
The other people, it's a two-hander, and you change the other person every week.
Believe me, the idea that I never need to book a guest, I show up, tweet out a phone number, and that's my whole job.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I am thanking.
Yeah.
I thank the heavens on high for that one, believe me. Although I'm glad to see since the day we met, our competition over who is doing worse.
Oh. Oh, no, I won that race. Don't worry.
Stop.
No, I won.
Stop.
No, you broke away. You put me in my place.
No.
It's fun.
Since when was it a competition between you and I?
It's fine. It was a race to the bottom, and I beat you. But then you got the podcast. Look, the podcast is great. It's you talking to these people, and it gets very heavy, and it gets very weird. It depends on the call. The callers set the tone. But it tends to more or less live in a certain neighborhood. It's not like anybody is, you know what I mean? It's not as, it's real life.
It is.
More than.
Anything else I've done.
Yes.
Sometimes in a real big way.
Yes.
Which I didn't intend. I thought it was going to be a really funny podcast. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be an extension of the Gethard Show with people pranking me.
Mm-hmm.
But then the first episode wound up getting featured on This American Life, and it was a serious episode.
Yes.
And it just went in this real serious direction. And I had to really talk myself out of self-sabotage, because I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do another project that's not known for being funny, you know?
Sure. You mean where it's got the... It taps into the range of emotions.
Yeah, like I feel like my comedy between the Gethard Show and the special I did had a reputation for like, oh, it'll get really dark and honest, at least but it's also funny. And then that went in a direction where I'm like, oh, that's just dark and honest sometimes, which is great.
Because you can't guarantee how it's going to come out because you, if you're doing your stand up, everything that gets said is coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're handing that phone line over to a stranger.
Yeah.
It can go, they dictate where it goes.
Yeah, and I had to get my ego out of the way and be like, it's all right if it's not funny. What am I can't always make jokes. Like, we had an episode with someone who called up and said she was married to a man and found out he was addicted to child porn while they were married. I'm like, I'm going to start cracking wise at that point. I'm going to shut up and listen, you know? So, but I had to remember, this is like a real blessing in my life and such a cool thing, and to be able to, you know, the fact that a big part of my job now is to just let people talk. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Especially when you know you bring in a certain quality of person, too, in a way. It's not going to be like people who are going there looking to just, like, stir it up as the default setting.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. They're very nice people. Very sweet people. And then they come out when I go on the road. It's awful nice.
They like you.
Yeah. I mean, I love your callers too, but you got to keep a lot more balls in the air. You're a little bit more of a ringmaster.
I'll say this though. Look, I'm here. Sometimes I get knocked around. I'll take my lumps. I never saw anybody who put their name on their thing. Chris Gethard Show was almost like, that was like the bad lottery in a way where it's like, who's going to get beat up the most? Let's put their name on the show.
I can't believe I didn't tell you this. I should have texted you right away. I just did shows in Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh.
Wise guys. Really fun shows.
Uh-huh.
People came out. I'm out afterwards. I'm trying to sell the merch, trying to push the book and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Kid comes up to me.
Talk about the book.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to squeeze it in.
Don't worry. No, Blame. I want. We're going to clear a wide path for it. We're not going to squeeze this in.
This dude comes up to me at the table.
Yeah.
He's like, I was on your show once. And, you know, there's
a lot of people.
200 episodes. Yeah. I can't remember everybody. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm sorry. I'm blanking. What did you do? And he's like, I'm not surprised you didn't recognize me. Me and my friend, we dressed up as Spider-Man and we beat each other with bats.
That was when I was on the Chris Gethard Show, and I was a guest on the show, and these two dudes were dressed as Spider-Man and started hitting each other with wiffle ball bats, and were coming shockingly close to hitting other people when they would like pull back,
including
with the
bat.
I believe. Yeah, I almost got whacked.
Turned out they were 2 15-year-olds from Utah
that. Went to New York, put on Spider-Man costumes, and started thumping each other on television. But when you put your name on the show, most people would be like it's like Late Night with Seth Meyers. That doesn't mean Seth Meyers gets it worse than anybody else on the thing.
I think that was kind of the whole premise of the show, looking back on it. I wanted to have a show where the host was never in control.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of always the gut instinct.
Yeah.
What happens if the guy it's named after is the lowest status person in the room? That was the experiment.
And the show...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great... John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
How long did the show run for in every iteration? Because it started off as a live show at the UCB Theater.
Yeah.
That was the first version of the show.
It ran for 9 years total.
Okay.
I really had it in my head. As I was mentally breaking towards the end, I was like, I want to hang on and get to year 10 because it's a round number. And then I realized that was pretty arbitrary.
Yeah.
Then I was also like, to come in at 9 is pretty on brand for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're that close to 10. We're that close to a milestone.
It's the closest.
No, let's pull the plug. Yeah. Pull the plug just before the milestone.
Let's have it conk out right before we get a showy double digit.
Yeah.
Shiny
nice thing to
number.
Celebrate. Nice thing to celebrate.
9.
Let's do it. Yeah. Although can I tell people about the conversation we had right after it ended, which made me feel so much better. But we talked on the phone because you are someone who I've leaned on many times over the years, especially in moments where I'm mad at the entertainment industry. You're the perfect person to call.
Yeah.
You always have words of wisdom, specifically ones I would like to hear in those moments.
Uh-huh.
And you said you knew I was done. You said you watched the show one night and you said when we went to commercial breaks, we had these crane shots.
Yeah.
And I used to like be dancing or high-fiving audience members.
Yeah.
You said you watched one episode where as it went to commercial and the crane shot was overhead, you watched me drop my head and slink off to the side and defeat.
Like that was like the message. It was like, oh, there's Chris. That's where Chris's head is at. And then there was also an episode where clearly, if we can talk about this,
Let's go. You know me and you.
Okay.
When you get me going, I'm an open
book. I'll say this.
This environment is maybe where I'm more of an open book than anywhere else.
Because I'll say this. You did the show. It was a beautiful show. It was a show that just every episode you tried to do something different with that mm-hmm. had that would just go into a place you had no idea where it was going to end up. And there's that beauty when you do a thing where you're putting these elements out on the table that you don't get to say how this is going to shake out.
Take our chances.
Yes.
Took our
you
chances.
You took your chances. And you did 200 episodes of you taking your chances and your lumps and everything you took. And but as it went on, and it went from a live theater show to a cable access show mm-hmm. to a network show that was a channel that I think went out of business.
No, it's still around.
It went, okay.
It's still around.
What was that? Fusion.
Fusion, not Fuse.
Not Fuse, Fusion.
Often confused with Fuse, which lets yes. you know this network. They took yeah. great care of us, and I thank mm-hmm. them for the chance. But you are mm-hmm. a small network if you're getting... Your brand is outshined by Fuse.
Yes, Fuse is people are like
Fuse is already
we're not
small.
Fuse. Yeah, yeah, Fuse is. Like, so, but then you went to True TV, yeah. and you had two seasons.
National
there.
Platform.
Yes,
following the Jokers for and, the first chunk.
Sure, and then it kind of it was. It just worked, and then it worked less? What yeah. happened? And look, you say as much or as little. You set the line.
Well, let's see. I mean, I like being very honest. It's also hard for me to be impartial. I want to be very fair. I mean, I do want to say right out of the gate that I appreciate every opportunity I ever got. You know, a network put us on a national platform. We were the first show that was ever an hour long.
Live.
First show live.
Unbelievable.
That was their idea. Unbelievable
yeah,
opportunity.
An hour they were giving you mm-hmm. and your crew mm-hmm. of New York mutants
mm-hmm.
an hour. They were handing you an hour of television time, of broadcast time.
Yeah.
To shape
yeah.
however you saw fit.
Yeah. They gave us a crazy level of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So the
yeah.
yes.
And I am so, so, so thankful for it. All that being said, I think, you know, we were on following the Jokers and the numbers were decent. And then I think for the network, a lot of their strategy is let's start shows off following Impractical Jokers because that's mm-hmm. the network's biggest audience. Get eyes on it, then switch it out, give someone else a chance to grab their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And when we switched nights, it just the numbers plummeted. And yeah. I couldn't figure out how to get them back up. And it was really stressing me out. And
you know why, Mike? Mike?
He's not listening to me.
You know why, Mike?
He probably stepped outside as soon
what,
as I got in here.
What night do you think the show was on first? Thursday, Mike. Then they had ratings problems. What night were they on? Tuesday, that's right.
Trying to take on the juggernaut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you split the audience. There's only so many of these people to go around.
Yeah.
We're sharing a lot of people. Yeah.
Only so many people who like vinyl and aren't good at conversation.
And I'm one of them.
Oh, as am I.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you, the show moved nights.
Yeah.
You lost some footing.
Yeah.
On that. And then when those things start to go
bad, when it rains, it pours. And you know, it's like it's one of these things with our show being as strange as it was. I think if it had worked really big, mm-hmm. we'd have proved a lot. But it wasn't working at the end of the day, not in a commercial sense. I was still really proud of all the stuff we were doing. And, you know, in a way that I hope doesn't shine a bad light on them, my relationship with the network did get tense. I would mm-hmm. say that. And I am not built to handle certain types of stress. Mm-hmm. I think the way the communication was going was pushing me to a pretty dark place.
Yeah. Because there's one episode I remember watching you, maybe two in on the second on the
yeah.
final run, and you yeah. were clearly
it was
like
good.
A subtweet,
yeah.
But it was you. You were
know me too.
You
well.
Were having a conversation that I was just like. It's one thing if you go from point A to B to B to C to C to D. It's like you started at like point L.
Yeah.
But everybody watching at home was still back at A, and I was just like, I can figure out where this guy's at.
Yeah, you know,
because I know him.
Stuff.
And then you're just like, you know, because the thing, and it's the other thing, and it's like, we're 90 seconds in on this episode. He's,
yeah.
He's losing.
Not good. I was not doing it. They did not enjoy our first episode of the last batch. Those last 10. And it was not a good scene. And they asked us to rearrange a whole lot of things between week one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty surprised by it. Put me in a bad spot. I think just the chain of communication was also built in a way that was making me feel insane. As you know from working in TV, you will very often hear things that come from other people, but it's been passed on through six people before it ever gets to you. And that was driving me nuts. And I started really trying to flag to everybody that this was not going to be good for my health. And it was, in my opinion, I don't know. I don't know if that was taken as seriously as maybe people understood. I was trying, maybe I could have made it clear, but long story short, Tom, and I'm not trying to, again, I have a very good life. And like you said, like the underdog thing I know is over. I can't lean into that anymore. It would be disrespectful. Like I've had a bunch of, you know, 3 good years in a row, which I never thought I'd see. That being said, I did flag like, hey, this is really intense. I don't think it needs to be this intense. I'm going to have... I did not plan on talking about this, but I was like, I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm not built for this.
Did you think it was going to happen on the show?
I wasn't sure when it was going to happen, but I could tell what was happening, and I was really trying to like just spread word to people of like, hey, all of these conversations are fair, but the way they're happening is just so intense, and I don't know if that's necessary. And I wound up having a panic attack, I think about 5 p.m., on the day of our second episode. Keep in mind, I hosted a live television show on national TV at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying. It was really, really terrifying. And if I'm being totally honest, I think I fought the good fight. But from that point forward, if you watch from the third episode in, I think people watching, if they knew me and knew the show, could feel that it was it was a real struggle for me to...
I could definitely feel it.
I did not feel safe in the environment that was named after me, and that is a problem, you know? That is a problem, and part of why I had to walk away. Even at a certain point, it turned around, and I started having some fun again, and some of the people, you know, some of the people involved in the show, like Shannon and Bethany, who were on the show, were like, I think we got one more season in us. Let's do it. And I started thinking maybe we could, and then my wife, who is also on the show, said, you know, I don't want to cost my friends a job. I don't want to cost myself a job, but as your wife, more than someone who's on the show, as your wife, I don't know if I can let you convince yourself of this, seeing how this has gone for you. And, you know, part of what made me comfortable and realize, okay, I got to end this thing was we did an episode and my Aunt Karen emailed me that day and was like, hey, I hope you're getting enough sleep.
Okay.
And I was like, man, when I get away from like, here's the strategy that needs to happen, here's how we need to shift this and shift that and all that, and it's just the people in my life who love me. That's what they're thinking. Are you? I'm watching you on live TV, and what my immediate instinct is to make sure that you're sleeping right. That's a concerning thing.
Yeah.
You know?
If that's reading.
Yeah.
On television
to the people who love me.
Yeah.
I gotta look out for myself. And then the network too said, you know, since the numbers are low, we might need to switch your show to a half hour. And we said, when will that happen? And they said, we don't know.
Could happen
tomorrow, could not happen. It wound up not happening, which I think was good because I think the show was better as an hour and we got to end it in a way I was proud of. But not easy to work on a live show when you don't know if you're going to get the notice that it's going to be half an hour. And again, all of this being said, they gave me an incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
I think I maybe realized that I am not built to helm something on commercial TV. The pressure was too great and it broke me, I'm sad to say.
Well,
this got sad and real fast.
Yeah, well,
Tom.
It did. Yes, I want to show you what your own show sounds like. This is what you're on my beautiful enough. But no, it's hard. You're wearing so many hats on the thing. Also, it's a different thing when you see any of the late night shows. Those hosts are not in the trenches on every dopey little thing. And look, you had great people around you fighting to keep things off your plate. And you had, you know, JD and everybody doing everything they humanly can to just make this thing run.
Yeah.
But when a thing is just at a certain size, it's like your face is on the thing and your name's on the thing. And it's like, people are going to come to you for answers on so many things. But then you actually have to also just go host the thing. Like you can.
Well, that was the tough part, man. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said is exactly what I was dealing with. Was like, I don't know how. Excuse me. I drank your Gene Simmons cola.
And this soda, by the way, I want to say this guy.
Gene's, it's delicious. It's actually a really good cola. Yeah.
Well, this guy, this band, Manhattan Murder Mystery. I get a box at the Besho P.O. box. I wait online at the post office because there's a card, like, article too large for box. I wait 20 minutes online. Get this box. This guy sends me a CD, and he sends that thing of the soda.
Gene Simmons branded
it was
cola.
It was wrapped in so much bubble tape and had so many packing peanuts. It took me a half hour to do the thing. I was so mad at the guy. And then I'm just like, boy, this CD, this dude better be a great record, or this one's going right in the trash because I just had to spend so much time picking up packing peanuts. And then I listened to it, and I was almost mad that it was good. I was just like, ugh, this guy knew if he sent me the stupid soda, the Gene Simmons soda, which is his cola now, Gene, thankfully. The question we've all waited for the answer to, when will Gene Simmons throw his hat in the soft drink biz, has been answered. You're drinking it. You like it.
It's good. It's better than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It's cane sugar instead of corn syrup,
okay,
which is good.
Yeah.
That's like the first qualifier if it's good. But it tastes maybe a little too much like a diet soda for me,
okay,
if it's not a diet soda.
One night I did a show with you.
Yeah, it was so fun.
And I was so where you were just like, we're going to drink soda all night at the creek in the cave.
Long Island City.
And we're there, and you're just breaking out all these sodas, and I'm drinking. And then I was, like, vibrating afterwards. I was just like, like, and I needed the food. I was like, I need to cut this soda. I feel like I am, I just feel like I'm made of sugar right now.
Just a couple guys chugging sugar and caffeine and telling it like it is.
It was a fun night. Yeah. So the show.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, the buck stops with you ultimately. No matter how hard people were working insanely hard to try to keep this thing going. But like Jimmy Fallon is not like putting out fires that you're having to put out.
I would imagine he's not front and center for as many of them as I was. And,
yeah.
Like you were saying too, that to be in that environment where it's like, all right, we might get switched to a half an hour. Okay, yeah. I just got these notes calls. We just got notes for a couple hours, and now I got to walk out there, put all that aside, and try to be funny on live TV.
Yeah, try to be carefree.
Tall order, and not something I was always successful about, which I feel bad at. And you know, you mentioned JD, who you know was like the rock.
Of
my show, and for so long, when I would start to lose it, I could just lean on him. And then there were stretches as we got to cable and became more serious where he would lose it and he'd lean on me. And we always had that game of ping pong. And this last chunk of episodes was the first time ever where there were days where we were both going insane at the same time.
And that was always built for.
Then it was a ship without a captain. You know?
One of us can lose it at a time.
Yeah. Well, if any of your listeners are interested in retroactive looks at canceled TV shows, this is their dream episode, Tom.
Well, this is, look, your show meant a lot to a lot of people. The Chris Gethard show.
Me too.
It meant a lot to me. Nothing was I was so excited when that True TV run started and that show was going out and you had more tools at your in the toolbox and you're doing different things and you got, you're getting to send like Connor Ratliff all over the place and get him doing stuff.
Rent helicopters. We rented helicopters.
You were cracking the whole thing open.
Felt good.
It was so exciting. And then it just kind of like, it was new territory for that network also. Yeah. It's not like they've done live things before, like you said, or even hour long things is new for them. And
yeah.
So it was like a weird experiment.
Yeah,
and it's
also tough too because you know I'm very very good friends with Sal. The first time Sal was here, I brought Sal from
Impractical Jokers, Salville County. You brought him in.
All four of those dudes, I think, are so nice, so cool. Every time I've seen them and get along with them. And I would say the large majority of their fans are so nice, but there's a very vocal contingent that just came after us. And it was clear of like, oh, there is such a cult and such a cultish devotion to them. There are people that are mad just that I'm not. That my show is, I'm like, we follow, there's times where we literally follow 8 episodes of Jokers in a row, then a Jokers after show, then my show. And they're tweeting at me.
They're furious.
And cursing, get your show off the, off the air. We want more Jokers. One guy sent me a message on Facebook that said, you are ugly. You're ruining True TV. More Jokers. And I wrote back to him and I was like, well, first I looked at his profile picture and he's holding a baby. And I clicked on his profile, and it was his son, infant son.
Ugly baby.
No, cute baby.
All right.
And I was just like, dude.
I was going to say, you, that would be the first play you make, just like.
I'm trying to insult the child.
Talk about ugly. You got to look at that kid, bro.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I went the opposite route. I was just like, dude, listen, it's just TV. You don't have to watch it. Also, if that's your kid, I'm just like, I'm not judging you at all. Do what you got to do, but I don't know if this is the best example to set. And then he wrote back and he's like, yeah, man, I tell you, I had my kid when I was 23 and life is really hard and sometimes I just stress it out. And sorry, I took it out on you. I'm like, all right, man, this life is weird. I think I maybe need to scale back and go live in the woods.
Everybody was running a little hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this. I love Impractical Jokers as much as anybody.
It's great.
I'll say, if you're watching True TV, and they throw a different show on every once in a while. The network's not called Impractical Jokers Network. It's you're getting, you have to realize, you're getting so much more of the thing you like than any other network does for anything, for anybody else. Like, it's not like you go and you, like, it's like, oh, I'm a huge fan of Bob's Burgers. Like, well, great news, because Fox is going to run 12 episodes of Bob's Burgers all day long.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they don't do that.
No, I'm on there trying to get human hair dumped on me for one measly hour a week, and everybody's all pissed off.
When and you're taking a beating, and you're like, What was the most frustrating part when you look back at the whole thing where you're just like, honestly, I am flesh and blood. Why am I putting myself through this? Is there a moment where you, like, that questioning of faith almost?
On TV or in the whole run?
Yeah, either one. Just that where the thing hurt and you were like, this is actually hurting me as a human being.
Yeah. I mean, I would say towards the end, like, because you know me, even in the time you and I have been friends, I have changed a lot. I've calmed down a lot. Yeah. I've gotten married. My life has stabilized. Mm-hmm. Things have worked out. So there's just in general, there was a part of me that was like, ah, how do I break this routine of getting, like, thrown into pits full of stuff or getting knocked over? Like, it's not necessarily the ideas I would have now. So that was becoming a general thing, too, that made me feel like I needed to move on. But I would say overall, in the 9 years of the show, we once did a live show at South by Southwest. And I had this idea where I was going to be the human Sunday, where I would go sit in a baby pool with no clothes on. And I'd have ice cream dumped all over myself. And then people from the crowd could add toppings. We'd have all these game mechanics where people could add toppings. And then the end of the show, we'd hand out plastic spoons to everyone in the audience, and they could come and eat from the the human sundae and meet me and talk to me that way. And we did no research into how this would work, and we just went out and bought, like, you know, like those big gallon containers of cheapo ice cream from the supermarket. Yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, human body, 98.6 degrees? Like, they put the ice cream on me. 98 degrees, melt the ice cream.
Yeah.
Turns out it works the other way. The ice cream freezes your body.
Yeah.
And I sat in a tub of ice cream for close to 90 minutes. And, dude, I'm not kidding. I had second-degree burns from the cold. My elbow was covered in blisters. You could see that my thighs and stomach had like raised puffy pink skin.
Oh.
And all, I was sitting naked, so I was covering my, my junk.
Yeah.
And thank God, because there's just like rings of like of this exposed burned skin all around. I had to go sit in a tub of warm water for hours, and it was brutally dangerous. Looking back on it, I'm like, this is so dumb. But fans of the show, here's a great trivia fact. So fans of the show might remember the guy who wound up being my assistant, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very funny kid named Justin Linville, who is going to be huge. He told me only a couple months ago that he was at that show when he was 15. And wow. Both he and his mom ate from the human sundae.
Oh, my God.
There's a weird trivia fact.
So that, the idea, he walked up with a spoon, mm-hmm. him and his mother.
Yeah.
And he said, someday I will have that guy's credit card.
Yeah. And someday I will help that stressed out ball of nerves function on a day-to-day basis.
I want to work with that guy.
Yeah.
The guy who almost died in a kiddie pool full of ice cream.
It was really such, and it wasn't even that funny. It was one of those ideas where it's like, this was a 25-minute idea, and we made it last 80 minutes. Uh-huh.
And
tons of people came. Our house band, most of them couldn't be there. I don't think any of them were there, actually. And the Front Bottoms, who had just played our show, mm-hmm. we really clicked, and they were our house band, and their fans are very passionate. So all these Front Bottoms fans, too, that didn't even care about our show or know about
it. You're in the way.
Yeah, where I'm like freezing. I'm like freezing and being burned, and they're just mad because it's not a Front Bottoms concert.
Mike, this is what I want you to do next week. Bring a kiddie pool in. Okay, Mike? If you want me to mention your calendar on the air anymore, this is what I want you to do. It's called it's a 50-50. One side is going to be the ice cream like Chris had. The other side, hot soup.
Ooh.
Right? And we're not even anywhere. Nobody can even see it. Look, it's bad enough Chris did this and it wasn't on TV. We're going to do it on the radio. No, we could be pretending it happened, but we got to really do it. You do that, I'll mention your calendar. I'll mention apmike.bandcamp.com and the calendar's going out. You want to also, Mike finally brought the calendar in. So he makes this big production. I got the calendar. Here's the calendar. And naturally, I'll say this also. He's going to bring a calendar when I'm here. Chris is coming. Oh, here comes Chris. A guest comes in and this guy finally hups too. Sal Volcano comes in and says, Mike, what size shirt do you want? He's got the shirts. He's got the whole thing laid out as if it's a gift basket at an award show. Mike knows Chris is coming on. Now, finally, one of these calendars makes its way to the studio. Chris, I want you to have the calendar. And then I finally get a chance to look at this thing. In the back, there's like a list that you could write in like, phone, like emergency phone numbers on this thing. Mike, how much would it be to get you to write your phone number in one of the calendars? If somebody wanted to buy like a gold circle calendar. Yeah. $150? $150? $30? Why do you guys always cut? I was trying to get Mike to do those videos. You know, every one of these like fourth tier people. And there comes this. That's the other shoe dropping. Dudio immediately slashes Mike's already low price. You know those videos they have where you go and you get like Bam Margera is just
hey, just want to say, Tina, happy graduation, Tina. Like,
right.
And you're paying him like $60 or whatever. Yeah. I was like, Mike, let's do for 30. Mike's like, I'll do 15. And Dudio's like, I'll do 10. Like they
just don't know how negotiations work.
They started slashing the prices. Like they're already going out of business before the business opened.
Now, I'm sure you've talked about this. Did I not see one of Mike's shirts on that Magic for Human show?
Oh, yeah. No. With that.
Which Mike, I like that show.
These dumb masses shirts. This guy's not even at that bar anymore. He's selling these massive shirts. I watch Impractical Jokers. You got Sal wearing the massive shirt. There's a magic show. There's a people. Hey, look at Mike's wearing the Mike's shirts on the mat. It's like, I got no traction, man. The only thing I get is people are like, "Dude, look, the thing where Elon Musk is smoking pot. It looks like Tom." That's the best thing I've had happen all year. That's the best thing. That's the most successful thing that's happened to me all year. Is people going, "Whoa, I didn't know Tom liked bong rips." I'm glad. That is my crowning achievement for this year, is Elon Musk gagging on a bong hit or whatever he was doing. I didn't watch it. And he's, that it made him look like me somehow. And then people write, "Oh, look at Tom. Oh, right? You're getting the sticky icky there, Tom." Go like, oh. But Mike gets his shirt everywhere. So let me just say this. We got Chris Gethard here. Chris, the TV show, you did it. You did it, though. That's the great thing.
It's kaput.
Think of how many people. There is a legacy aspect to it. Oh. Think of how many people came through that show who have gone on now, and that was the point. That was the place where they could get started.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing that I think I'm most fiercely proud of, mm-hmm, professionally. You know, the community that surrounded it, the fact that all these kids out there are friends now, that's the, mm-hmm, best part. But I think on a professional level, like, there's all these people who are going on to bigger things, and you look at their resumes, and they were on my public access show. I mean, I gave them their first writing, mm-hmm, job. I know who the good people are.
Yeah, I mean, about that. You got, who you got was on this thing? You got Joe Firestone, mm-hmm, was there.
Julio Torres, Anna Fabrega.
Yes.
First guy to put Connor O'Malley on TV.
Yeah, well, that was actually, that we might need to reprimand you for that.
Unleashing
that,
him on the,
yeah,
world.
For unleashing that lunatic. You actually gave him a platform. The first time I saw him, and I'm not going to say what he was chanting the worst thing I've ever heard anyone.
On my show?
On your show.
Yeah.
It started with dead bodies was the first thing. And he's chanting. And I was just like, and he was doing his great character.
You don't even want to say the name.
I don't want to say
it. I can tell.
But I was just like, what is this dude's deal? Like, this guy is either the most brilliant guy going, or this guy doesn't have any control over what he's doing. And I still think it's both, though.
Yeah.
He put this video out last week, Connor O'Malley, of him doing a talk show in a river. And it was the greatest thing. It was just like, he's literally in a river with his GoPro or whatever he's holding out on his selfie stick, filming himself, just taking mouthfuls of gross water.
I couldn't tell what river it was. That was one of my big questions.
But he's in a suit in a river. Yeah. So you gave that guy a platform.
Yeah.
Patty Harrison, the first time I saw her, was on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, so many good people.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of good people.
Great. You know, so
Gary Richardson.
Whatever it was. And if was is the operative word, then was is what it was. But you did good with it, Chris.
Thanks.
You did thing with it.
You were always a supporter, and it always meant a lot to me.
But now, look, you throw some dirt on this thing, and now we don't talk about that. And now we talk about Lose Well, which is this guy, again. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll say
this.
When
did I? Come on.
This is what I'll say. We put a benefit show together for the hurricane back. It was me and Ted Leo did this benefit show. And you were one of the performers at it. And you came on. And I never saw anything. You were up. I think Titus Andronicus played. And then you went up, right? Was that what it was?
Following Titus,
yeah.
In 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you went
tall
up. And
order.
You were just like, well, that. But you did it, the greatest thing. You're just like, wow, this is going to be the worst. You're like, oh, this is going to be the worst. I follow these guys. And then everybody's rooting for you then because nobody wanted to. Everybody's on your side.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy, he's got this thing. He's crazy. He's losing like a fox, this guy. He's not eating it.
I didn't realize that for the past 6 years you've thought I was such a big faker.
Not a faker. You just knew how to be honest about how you actually felt.
Yeah.
And people, you lower your guard and they respond.
I think people could see that I was just trying to keep my head above water back then.
You were being completely real in the moment.
Try to be honest.
It was that honesty that got people to be like, they were on your side.
Yeah,
they were rooting for me. But then you kill them. You do your thing. You tell a great story, and they're rolling in the aisles.
Had a lot of fun.
Yes, but it's a very important thing to see. That's what honesty. That's the power of honesty.
Yeah.
Is that you said it, you were honest about it, you let people know how you were actually feeling, and then you had them cheering you on. Maybe even a little more, maybe they were just giving you more of a chance if they didn't know who you were necessarily at that thing. And then everybody leaves, it's like, oh, that guy was fantastic. It's like, yeah, that's why he was on the show. What do you think we drew his name out of a fishbowl?
I mean, did put me up in the death spot, but...
Yeah, look, but you won the death spot.
Well, if I'm anything, I'm a master manipulator of human emotion.
See, that's the scariest part. If it did turn out this is like some giant Usual Suspect thing where you're just like, ah, I guess I better go do the sad guy routine. Like, you're like, whoa. Yeah. Like, and you start walking a little differently. Yeah. Like when he walked away at the end. Can you ever watch it? Nobody could watch that movie again. Kevin Spacey walking around. Right? Why don't they replace him? And I don't want to ever. I was watching that Baby Driver was on. I'm just like, boy, they missed the. This is a Kevin Spacey movie.
Yeah.
They gotta hide that dude in that thing for now. You can't watch it and not think of this. This creep should be launched into space. That's all I can think.
I saw it before that stuff, and I gotta say, I was very confused by that movie. It was like a soundtrack with a movie, not a movie with a soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, you know? It was tough, but it was cool.
Yeah, look, it's something to look at.
Sorry to get so negative.
It's ironic that his name is Edgar Wright, because that's the one thing he's not very good at. Write. He can't write.
Wow.
Well, you guys may hire me for one of your David Spade type showbiz chit-chat things. I'll punch up your mean script. So, but look. So this guy, he says, I'm going to start telling my stories of being a New Jersey sad sack. And he turns it into one of my favorite books, which is called A Bad Idea. I know I'm going to get it wrong.
It's okay.
A Bad Idea.
You only co-wrote a script based on it.
That I'm about to do.
Yeah, nailed it.
There it is.
Look at that.
And it's a great book, but now he's back. He's back. Look out, bookstores. He's back. In October, you got a second book coming out.
October 16th. Technically the third book, if you count Weird New York.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because you were a prime mover over at Weird New Jersey.
Yeah, back in the day. But yeah, October 16th, Lose Well. You can pre-order it right now at chrisgeth.com. It would be much appreciated if you did.
And this book is what now?
This book is a very funny book. It's got a lot of anecdotes. If you like the last book, I think you'll enjoy it because there are just a whole bunch of funny stories. But then on top of that, I put a layer of, you know, just sort of a thing that's a little bit more like philosophical or advice driven, just about, you know, if you're someone who has some ambitions to maybe be creative or change things up, or you got some goal that you want to pursue and you've always been a little too self-conscious to go after it, like, here's some stuff that's not guruism, it's not Dr. Phil, it's just like nuts and bolts. Like, mm-hmm. I've been doing it for 18 years. I walked a pretty circuitous path. I learned a lot along the way. I think because I walked a circuitous path, younger artists tend to ask me pretty often for advice, and it's just me going, here's everything, just trial and error that I've learned and that I believe about how to just bang your head against the wall and make stuff happen for yourself.
Sure.
And a lot of stories of of the public access days in there and of different scumbags that I've met in my time in the entertainment industry. Uh-huh. And it's funny. You actually, I don't know if you remember that. You told me a few years ago, you said, I really think you should write a book about like what it was like to be on Big Lake and then switch over to public access. And it's just such a weird thing. You actually told me, I think that would be something people would want to read. And I said, I think it would be self-indulgent. You were like, I think you could pull it off. And it's all in there.
Great.
It's all in there. Some career stuff, some anecdotes stuff, some funny stuff, and some philosophy stuff.
Because you were on a show, which, look, you've talked about this, and people should get the book. I'm also going to say this.
Yeah.
Buy this guy's book, huh?
It would be appreciated. The publishing company is not thrilled with the pre-sales. So if you're planning on checking it out,
now is the time.
Maybe. If you're spending the cash, I don't want to shill too hard and convince people to buy it.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there going, I like Gethard, he's been on The Best Show a bunch of times, I want to support him, maybe don't wait for it to hit bookstores, because they're saying I'm coming up way short in the pre-sales and it would take a real monkey off my back if you.
Look, get this guy's book before it's the book that when you go to the bookstore, it's on that little wheelie cart out in front where they're just kind of like,
oh no,
yeah, people can steal this stuff. We'll take our chances.
Why are you putting that
in my
head?
Don't. That's not. We're not going to let that happen.
Oh God.
You know, when you go to the wheelie cart, you're like, oh wow, look at that. There's 800 copies of this Rainn Wilson book.
Yeah.
Boy.
I'm up against that Bob Woodward book that exposes the president. I need help. Please help.
Well,
it's all.
I can't wait to read this thing. Lose Well.
It's all about the core philosophy, Tom, is that failure is not something to avoid. It's something to dive headfirst into. And I wonder if you would agree with this. Okay. There are a lot of people who I've seen who are very, very talented, who wash out.
Sure.
Their ego gets in the way and they can't handle rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen tons of people who are marginally talented at best, but who are very, very good at just slamming their head into a wall and not quitting. And they make it more often than the other type, I would argue.
I think all you can do when it comes down to it is just stay. You just got to stay on your feet. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
It's just like you can't. Because if you quit, if I said this, look, everybody, oh, I love The Best Show. Something. First of all, I'm sorry I'm doing that impression of fans on my show. I apologize. I was talking. It's funny because I was talking to my wife Terry about this, and we were talking about how like when you recount a story, and you're just like, so then I'm at the thing, and then the guy, or even if you talk about like a relative, you're like, then my uncle says, no, I don't want to do this. Like you're like, well, that's his, like. Very flattering voice you're doing there for a relative. Like, you're like, I didn't think I could go to this. Like, so, I apologize for doing that voice. You all have beautiful voices. If I said, I'm out, I quit, I'm done, there'd be like 3 weeks where people would be like, no, please don't leave. But if I'm like, no, guy, everybody, I'm out. And if I left, then there'd be like one more week where it's just like, oh, the show's gone. And a week after, like, everybody moves on. Yeah. Nobody cares if you quit. They shouldn't.
Yeah.
What are you going to – if you want to leave, leave.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world to just not do the thing because these things are – it's hard doing this. Look, I know it's not digging ditches or whatever and stuff like that. But look, I worked so many retail jobs, and I know where the line is with that stuff. And I, you know, who knows where I end up. If I end up back doing that stuff, that's fine. That's what I came from. That's what I grew up with. That it would be on my shield. My crest would be me, some sort of cash register behind a counter would be on my family crest. Would be me with a cash register, me wiping a counter down, and then me doing this show. So it's just like, it's fine. You end up where you end up. There's no judgment on it. But this line of work is uniquely frustrating and belittling.
Yeah, and your ego will be bruised over and over and over again, and you have to just coexist with that. And never – a lot of people think they're going to accomplish something that will solve that, where you're going to, like, conquer those demons. And it's like, no, those demons just live in you, so get used to them.
So if you're in, you're in.
Yep.
If you want to go, go. That's fine, too.
And if that's one of the major things I say in my book is that if you can quit and you probably should, and if you'll be okay with that, that's great.
Well, there's also a thing like if you're even asking yourself, should I quit? You probably should quit. I don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
I got nothing else going on. I'm just maybe too dumb to know where else to go at this point.
Yeah. But I it's another thing I talk about in the book is if you're sitting there going, should I quit? Should I not quit? You already have. You can't. Yeah. You're not going to make anything good if you're giving yourself this exit strategy.
Yeah, because
it's funny. A lot of the stuff you're saying is stuff that I have in there. Like I talk about the same thing with like as you're talking about with digging ditches. I'm like, you gotta, especially if you're some like I didn't grow up with any artists in my family. I can't think of one. I can't think of one person I saw growing up in my family in my neighborhood who did it, and it made me feel like a freak, you know, and. I think back a lot to like, well, the people I did grow up around worked so much harder than a lot of the people I see now on a day-to-day basis. And they didn't feel like they deserved anything. And those are the values you need to take with you. And I have a whole chapter in there about how my father, when I was in college, over one break, he forced me to work. He was working at Pfizer Pharmaceuticals at the time.
This is a great,
and he forced me to work on the factory floor. From the adult perspective, I'm like, oh, I think he wanted me to just see what real work was like. I wound up getting my hand caught in a piece of industrial machinery when I was working on what everyone there called the women's line.
And then it had to be a thing where your father heard
over and over again that I had. I was the work. I think I was the first work stoppage injury on the women's line. I think in close to four decades. My whole job was to hold a green stick, and Visine bottles would come down a conveyor belt. Have I ever told you this?
Oh, yes. And it was straightening it. Yeah.
And I fell asleep standing up one day while working, and the machine was backed up. I woke up to all these people screaming at me, and my whole job was to just take a stick and clear the Visine bottles from the machinery. And I woke up, looked at it, held the stick in my right hand, and just foolishly just reached in with my left hand and just heard like – just heard one of those noises, you know, just like
– And that's your hand.
Yeah, and like the pain was just quick and intense and then gone where I'm like, oh, my body is already going into shock, so I don't have to feel it. And I looked down, and it was just – still have a scar right there.
Yeah, that is.
And my dad for years was like, kid got cut up on the women's line, huh?
Yeah.
But I think my dad made me do that. So he's like, that's what real hard work is, artist.
Yeah.
That if you want to go be an actor.
That is.
Remember these people. Remember this. Is so this funny. You better work as hard as they do or don't bother.
So that's in the book.
Yeah. Oh, Best Show fans will also like. There's a chapter about the Gregulator.
Oh, this. Well, first of all, let me say this. When I went to your wedding, which was a great time.
Thanks so much. I've mentioned it before on the show. You and Terry T shut down the dance floor.
Well, that was sweet of you to say. Mike, you should have seen me out there. It was like, I was like a regular John Revolta. Revolta. I finally got a chance to meet your parents.
Yeah.
And I go and meet your dad. And what's your dad's first name again?
Ken.
Ken. It's like, hey, this is like, hey, it's great to meet you. Congratulations. You know, you're friends with both your sons. And then I said, I just have to say I'm the guy that does the radio show. And then your father's just like, oh. And it was almost as like, oh, that's the – you're the guy who does the show that my oldest boy, Greg, like
– puts his neck in a guillotine.
Yeah, like, oh, you're the guy who – you're the guy who gives him a platform every
week. My mom came up to me separately from that.
Uh-huh.
My mom came up to me and said, is that Tom from the radio?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I said, yeah. And she went, okay, okay. And I could tell she was thinking something that she wasn't saying.
But the look in your father's eyes when it was like all of it came flooding. It's like this, if it wasn't for this guy, my son Greg just wouldn't be doing these things.
Yeah.
He wouldn't.
He would be, though.
But he would.
Less people would know about them.
Yeah.
But he'd be doing them.
Yeah. The most troubling part of Greg is there was a point where he's like, I'm done with this whole Gregulator thing. And then just like, then he gets into the best show. And then he says, like, I'm going to do a thing, Dark Gregulator. It's like, oh, great. So you're finding the evil version of an evil version of you.
Well, now he's a financial guru.
Well, which is hilarious. He's so funny. Greg is very
he's
funny.
He's a wild man. Yeah, I write a chapter in the book about he entered a comedy competition.
Oh, this is the funniest.
In Philadelphia for the express purpose of ruining it.
Yeah.
He was like, man, I don't think that comedy should be a competition. We're all friends, and everybody gets all worked up trying to win. And I was like, you could just not enter, though. You could just let people – it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to destroy it.
If that's the game people want to play,
I'll
let them go play it.
Let them do it. And is it great to make art a competition? Probably not.
No.
But –
but if it's getting you up and you're in the mix and you're doing it and it's like, if it works for you, so be it.
It might be my favorite chapter in the book.
It is the people. I'm not going to say anything about it, but it is the funniest thing. I think knowing that in this book, you telling the story about getting your hand crushed is in there. And your brother ruining this comedy night.
It was a profound disaster.
Yeah.
And everything he planned to ruin it exponentially worse than he could have imagined.
Yeah.
And then the random twists and turns that happen in the aftermath are just the cherry on top.
Oh, yeah. No, he it's the best. And it's called, the book's Lose Well.
Yeah.
And it comes out, we're a month away.
October 16th. You can pre-order it now at chrisgeth.com. I'm coming up real short in the pre-orders. So if you're out there and you're thinking about spending the bucks.
Because really, what are you going to do, you guys? What book are you going to buy? Andy Kindler just tweeted. He said October 16th is his birthday.
Look at that.
So he's pumped up.
Andy Kindler.
He's fired up about the book coming out. It and he... he just came back from a triumphant London run.
Oh, yeah. We were there at the same time.
Yeah, because you were in London.
Last week, yeah.
What were you doing? You were doing stand-up?
I did three stand-up shows and then a live taping of Beautiful Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Where people show up and they just listen to me talk to someone on the phone, a disembodied voice on the PA. It was fun.
What would you think about a shower curtain on stage? With a microphone behind it.
Some sort of booth where a person can... have suggested
and can
this.
Leave. They don't even... They can just duck off into the wings of the theater. They don't have to walk back behind it, back to their seat. They can just go back stage. And you give them a motorcycle helmet or something.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Have them hide out.
Put your helmet on. You walk around with the helmet. Nobody knows who you are.
I feel like this is going to make you want to kill me, but it sounds like too much work.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather just tweet out the phone number, see what happens.
Look, I'll say this.
How much does that really get your goat?
Not at all. No, I want you to succeed.
It's the lowest effort.
I want you to succeed. Chris, you're not on the other... Look, I want... Once I realized you were going up and I was going down...
Oh,
Once I wrapped my head around that...
Stop.
Once I made my peace with that... I want you to keep going up and up and up.
Oh,
and where I hear it's like, oh, Judd Apatow's doing Chris's special. Meanwhile, I'm like wondering if I need to help Avalanche Bob buy new sneakers or something. Like, I'm just like, does this guy have a hot meal tonight? Like, when I realize these are the characters in the. And you're just like, well, I got a book coming out and it's going great. And I'm just like, well, if I don't plug Mike's calendar, like you're just, who published your book?
Harper One.
Yeah, Harper. And you're saying, like, the there's people at Harper saying, hey, let's go, let's goose the sales on this thing. Meanwhile, I'm like dealing with Mike. He's like, I got so many boxes in this calendar. You got to help me sell this thing. 4 months? Yeah, he's got 4 months. 4 months, otherwise Mike's going to have a very rickety coffee table in the center of his place. Like, what are you going to do with these? You're going to sell them, Mike. People are already buying them. And it's September. This guy's selling a pile of calendars a day in September.
Are those 2018s or
2019s? 2019. Well, like if it was 2018, that would be the funniest thing I ever saw. He's blasting them out so you could quick hang it up with a month and a half to go.
I flipped through the calendar.
Yeah.
A lot of it's really interesting. Some of it's a little disturbing, though, Tom.
And it'll be there on your wall for a month.
Some of those, just some imagine of those are that. Like a glimpse into the mind of a madman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wait, are you new to the whole Mike thing?
No, I've met him so many times.
Oh, I know. It's just like.
But it's a particularly distilled down version of it.
Because, yes, that's a fair point. Because you are going to be staring at it.
For a month.
Just picture March rolls around. You flip the thing. There's some nightmare on a page that you now have to look at every day.
That reveals the psychology of AP Mike.
Yeah.
And that he gave a thumbs up to and said, this represents me. I'll put my name.
Yeah. Mike.
On my brand on this.
Yes, it is his brand. How'd you like your guy on the Emmys, huh? Mike, because George R.R. Martin, that guy, like Game of Thrones, won an Emmy. So this guy, he's from Bayonne, George R.R. Martin. Yeah. But he got out of Bayonne so fast. He got out faster. You'd think he was on a dragon as fast as he got out, right? And then people have said that Game of Thrones is about Bayonne.
I've heard that rumor.
Right?
Yeah.
And Staten Island. So he wrote. Is there? Well, answer me this, Mike. Is in Game of Thrones? Is there a bridge that's closed for 14 hours every day? Like there is. I'm driving in New Jersey. Bayonne Bridge closed from 12 p.m. till 2 a.m. What? What are they doing with this bridge? It's been that way for 8 years. This bridge. Is there a bridge that in Game of Thrones that's closed? Next season,
Mike's got a lot of aggression in his voice right now.
Oh, this calendar's bringing out a bad side of him. Because he's going to just be like mad because Harper isn't, because you're on Harper and he had to self-publish his calendar.
I don't want to get in a competition between my book and AP Mike's calendar.
Well, they're two different things. Mike, what would you think about this? An audio book for the calendar. Right? Yeah, but why don't you just go for it? Just an audio book. Yeah, 4 minutes. And just still charge what everybody else charges. $29.95. And then they just buy it. They're like, oh, Mike has a book out. No, it's his calendar. Why don't you just read 12 captions?
There's also an audio book.
You're doing an audio book?
Yeah, and I'm interviewing all these people who are mentioned in the book.
Including your brother?
I interview my brother about the Philadelphia comedy competition disaster. God. I interview, my favorite one was, no, they were all good, but one of my favorites was this kid, Danny Tobia, I went to school with. Uh-huh. He's like the coolest kid. And in eighth grade in the musical, he was playing Conrad Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie.
Sure.
And then he quit the show. Uh-huh. And in a last minute Hail Mary pass, they installed me as Conrad Birdie.
So this is a pattern for you.
You're just sliding backwards.
Or just plug in. You're
other people quit.
You're the guy. Yes. Other people get bounced.
Yes.
Or bounce.
Mm-hmm.
and they plug Chris Gethard in.
Last second. I'm the last second replacement.
So you did Bye Bye Birdie.
I was Conrad Birdie in eighth grade, which was not a good fit. If you don't know the show, he's effectively please. Elvis. He is Elvis.
You didn't have to tell me about Bye Bye, but you did. You've gotta be sincere. It's the greatest. That was you.
That was me.
A teenage Chris Gethard.
I think 12 or 13. 12. And the crowd, it was the, I've read about it in the show, but in the book, but the curtain opened and a crowd full of, it was mostly kids' parents started like laughing at me. And it was like the best feeling of my life. I was like, I get why this is funny. I'm not supposed to be here in this gold outfit pretending to be Elvis. All these girls scream and faint at the sight of me. I'm like 4 and a half. I'm like 4'4", and I have a bowl haircut. And these girls are passing out at the sight of me. I'm wearing a gold outfit with a scarf and John Lennon sunglasses. I'm 4 feet tall. I have a bowl haircut.
But that's when you got the bug. It is. To be on stage.
It is. All because Danny Tobia quit.
You were hooked.
But I interviewed Tobia.
Because of Tobia.
Yeah, Tobia's the best. Good dude to this day. Yeah. Good dude.
Cards lay down a couple different ways.
Yeah.
Tobia's sitting where you're sitting now.
Oh, yeah. But he's doing great. Right? He's a real good guy.
Talking about the Chris Tobia show. The end of the Chris Tobia show.
I mean, I don't think he would have gone with Danny. That's his name.
Danny. The Danny Tobia show.
First name to my first name.
Well, sorry. You're right.
No, that's okay.
It's Danny Tobia.
Just got tangled. We got tangled up in that one together.
So you, what part now, the common thing between you and I that runs through so much of this stuff is the state of New Jersey.
Indeed.
What do you think is the mindset of a New Jersey resident that makes them a certain kind of person? Because it's like, look. Pat's from New Jersey, right, Pat? He's from New Jersey his whole life. Mike's from New Jersey. Jason's from West Virginia, so he's got a different worldview. You know, they would be excited when they were getting into the... They would take the tractor to the pitcher show, right? And you'd be... He was shocked. He told me once he was shocked that they had... He didn't understand popcorn... was corn, because he just knew the crops and everything, and then he was amazed that candy came in like packaging at that point, that it wasn't just loose barrel candy at the general store. So he doesn't get it, but the New Jersey thing, Are we hardwired with an inferiority complex? Is that what it is?
I mean, I think everyone makes fun of where we're from, judges us for being from there.
People have never been there.
Yeah,
here.
People have only flown into Newark Airport and then driven to someplace they view as better.
Yeah,
and to be fair, view what is an industrial wasteland.
Oh, it's the worst. You think you're in Blade Runner all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you get out of the airport. And there's just this city. It's like this factory city.
In Linden. When you go like south of the river.
Yes.
When you go at night and the tops of all of it are on fire.
Yeah. When it's just burning flames coming out of the top of smokestack.
I find it oddly beautiful.
I do too.
Yeah.
I always want to like run around in there.
Yeah.
And then that's right near where on election night 2016, driving home from doing this show. I crashed into a deer on the turnpike, and I'm telling you, there's 100 ways that thing could have gone, and every one of them has me getting seriously hurt or killed. Somehow, that deer did hit my car in just the right way that he did not go through the windshield. I still can't believe it. So I close my eyes and
Thank
I see
God
it.
Thank God for that.
Although there would have been some capper, man, I tell you. 2016 election, Tom, I'm out. Right? I would have beaten David Bowie, because David Bowie's like, oh, he put the video out of him, and then 2 days later he's dead. Yeah, mine? Yeah, the election goes down. I left within 30 minutes. I'm out. But no. But that stretch of highway, there is an insane, overdeveloped it seems like multiple factories.
Yeah.
That at night are just lit up. And but that's what people think New Jersey is. They think it's that.
Yeah. And it kind of is, but it's also not.
But do you think the making fun of, like, you remember that as a kid, you'd see on, like, a TV show, like, New Jersey was a punchline.
Always. Plus, I mean, like, my my house that I grew up in, if you went out the front door, made a right, and walked maybe 40 yards up a hill and turned around, you could see the New York City skyline.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, you're like, it's right there. The cool place is right there, and I am right here.
Yeah.
And it feels so far away. So far away when you're young.
But it's like within
spitting
within
distance.
Reach.
Yeah.
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 And do you remember going in as a kid to New York?
And being terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in fifth grade, they took us inexplicably. To this day, I don't understand why this was the choice for fifth graders. They took us to see Cats, which is a very bizarre musical.
Yeah.
One of the strangest. Uh-huh. And our music classes for like 2 months, they were teaching us all the songs from Cats. It was really weird. And I think it was the first time I'd been to New York City. And when they drove the school bus through Times Square, when we came out of the tunnel, it drove through Times Square. And this was probably in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the scariest thing I had ever seen.
Yeah.
It was so scary. I had a friend in high school. This was in the late 90s. Like, it wasn't that. Like, Giuliani cleaned it up. That happened pretty fast. But even right up until he did. I had a friend. My friend Mike. He, you know, we used to sneak into the city sometimes in school.
Yeah.
And he was in Port Authority. And waiting to get the last bus home.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to use the bathroom. He had to do number two.
Sure.
So now he's in this position where he's like, it's the last bus. I snuck into town. I can't miss the last bus. I do not have time to leave Port Authority to find a real bathroom. I got to use the Port Authority bathroom because I'm not going to make it. So he goes in. No one else is in there. He's like, thank God. So he goes into a stall.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he hears the door open. Hears all this screaming. And he has to tell himself. He, like, finishes up, flushes the toilet, and he's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Tells himself, man, whatever – he's like, tells himself, whatever is going on out there, just run as fast as you can. You do not stop.
Yeah.
And when he came out, what he saw, according to him, was a homeless man removing his own teeth with a pair of pliers. Whoa. He just kept running. Whoa. And that was like New York. When we were kids, that was what I thought New York was. Those were the types of stories I was hearing from my older friends who would sneak in and get fake IDs and stuff.
Yeah. No, it was like a scary place that seemed like anything could happen. Like, when you're a kid, it's like, this could happen, like, to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, and you feel like you're away from your parents now. And then you got other kids trying to be cool, and now you have to act like you're, like, rolling with it.
Yeah.
No, it's a scary thing, but you're so close to it as a kid in New Jersey. It's right there. So you would go in. I remember one time going in to see a show, and we drove in. I was probably literally just 18 at that point. And then driving and parking at Port Authority, not knowing where to park. And going, like, let's park here, not realizing it's 70 blocks from CBGB's or wherever I was going. Like, there's parking right here.
Yeah.
Let's park here. 44th Street.
And 11th Avenue.
I'm just like, now where am I going?
I'm going to 3rd and A?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It's like, and then parking, and then what they did is, the parking garage was not 24 hours.
Ooh.
We like got back, and they're just like, yeah, garage is closed till 6 a.m. But when you're like a kid like that, you're just like, I have $7 on me. Like I can pay for the parking, and then I know I have like between us we have like $7 past that.
Yeah.
And you're just like, every cent is now like needs to.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I guess you go to the get a bagel at the like with nothing on it and just get like a bagel and
split it.
The smallest drink you could humanly get. And we're just like, I guess we just got to sit here for like 5 hours now.
Yeah.
And just hope we make it, like nothing happens. So, because you also just know, everyone knows you're like just a suburban dunce. Like everybody sees it on you. Yeah. Like you're not going to fool anybody. And then we were hanging out, and then this guy came up and said, hey, your car's stuck in the thing, right? I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I can, for like $5, I'll help you get it out. Like, I'll show you how to get it out. And it's like, huh, wow, that would be a pretty sweet deal. And not realizing it's like, oh, this guy's going to take us in a stairwell and rob us. Like, we're going to go like, not realizing, like, but it was like this close to being like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
It would have just been like, then the knife would have come out and then I would have just.
Yeah. We used to park in Harrison. Take mm-hmm. the PATH train.
Okay.
Do the transfer at Journal Square. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, back in the 90s, when it was getting cleaned up. I'm not going to pretend it was like 70s Bronx is burning in New York, but it had those elements. When you would take the train back, because the PATH train would be 24 hours, so that's why we do it. Mm-hmm. You'd take that train. If it was like 2 in the morning, we just snuck in and seen some show. After you transferred at Journal Square and it was going to Harrison and Newark,
mm-hmm.
you never knew what was about to happen on that train. It was a real crapshoot. The insanity. I remember one time I parked in Harrison
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot there. And I used to go and pay at this lot. And I went in one time and there just wasn't a guy there. But there were all these cars parked. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just pay when I get back. Came uh-huh. back. The lot was closed.
Uh-huh.
Every car was towed. Oh. So I got to call them.
Yeah.
And Harrison's, I think, a nice enough town, but I didn't know enough about it. And it certainly has some rough edges, like a lot of North Jersey towns. So I call them up. I'm like, hey, my car got towed. I don't know where to go. And they tell me, and it's like a mile and a half walk.
Yeah.
And they're like, they say, you know, it's at this lot. You got to go. Cash only.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's me and my one other friend, and we're just these, like, suburban dweebs.
Yeah.
Like you said. And I'm like, so I got to go get like $150 in cash out of a cash machine right now.
Yeah.
And just walk this mile and a half path in the dark in Harrison where mm-hmm. if I was a local thief, I would just wait here. I would just wait along this dark path.
Cars get towed.
Yeah. So what we did was, do you remember that drink back in the 90s? I think it was called Soba. It came in a big bottle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Big glass mm-hmm. bottles back when Arizona iced tea was all the rage. Novelty drinks was a thing back then. Yeah.
And just the quantity game was
was
everything, because it would just be like, this thing is 99 cents and it is 38 ounces of iced tea.
Yeah.
The lowest grade iced tea.
Arizona's also inexplicably still 99 cents. Do you know this? It's 99 cents to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't obey economic laws of inflation. Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah.
But I think it was Soba. It had a bottle that had a neck,
mm-hmm.
so you could hold it like a weapon. Mm-hmm. So we bought two of those, me and my friend, and didn't even take a sip. Just dumped them on the ground and just carried them like clubs.
Uh-huh. Like you were ready to have a Soba fight.
Yeah, Soba fight.
Yeah. You know who's listening to this right now? Probably is Fred from Honolulu.
I bet he is. Taking notes.
But he's just laughing because he thinks like...
We're weak.
Yeah, he thinks we're weak. He thinks we're weak cowards. And as well say about him, though. This guy... He's a little bit of a fraud.
Fred. Wow. You're saying fraud from Honolulu?
Fraud from Honolulu. I would say.
Wow.
He was weaving this tale to me about, the neighborhood I'm in, you can't get pizza. Because I was like, I was making fun of him because he was like saying something about, if weed is legal in New Jersey. He's just like. He's like, I wouldn't smoke that New Jersey. That I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, I see you proudly putting pictures of you eating the worst pizza. You're telling me you're not going to smoke, like, you're going to be like a weed snob all of a sudden? Be like, I see you eating Domino's, and you're just like, I just ordered Papa John. And he goes, hey, I can't get good pizza in my neighborhood.
Oh, in New York?
Yeah. Then I end up in his neighborhood.
In Brooklyn?
One night. I end up in his neighborhood one night. And this is like, it's like a resort. It was like a resort town. It's like, this guy's weaving this tale about, you'd think he was in the middle of like Death Wish 3, the way he's painting the portrait, if it was going to just be like gang riots everywhere and there's no pizza around. It's like, I see somebody's got like this porch with a jaunty umbrella out in front of their house. Yeah. And they're just like in front of their place. I'm just
living high on the hog.
I'm just like, this guy in the story he was weaving to me. It's like, and secondly, there's no way. If somebody was just like, hey, Fred, this is New Jersey weed right there.
Want some?
Yeah, you want some? Would you like to have this? He, in his mind, he crumples it up and throws it in their face.
Not happening.
No.
I will tell you this about Fred. Fred worked on the Gethard Show. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, whenever I was, there were a number of times when I was, if I was truly stressed out and I just mm-hmm. needed a distraction, one of the great things about Fred is he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how factual it is, but he can talk. And he's very, very passionate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's Fred from Honolulu.
He's
the best.
I love him.
He cares a lot about Pacific Island culture. Mm-hmm. He really does. He knows a ton about it.
Yeah.
And there were times where I'm like, I just need to take my mind off of mm-hmm. all the stress for a while. And I'd just go up to Fred and I'd sit down across from him. I'd go, Fred, what are some of the top exports from Tonga?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd just talk for 45 minutes. And
just
it was
make
great.
Up some things.
It was a great way to escape. Yeah. Who knows? I'd be like, Fred, I hear there's a snake problem in Guam. And then 6 hours later, I'd be like, that was like, I got to escape.
No. You know what it is with him? I'll say this. I love the guy. When I talked about it on the air, when I had a nosebleed that would not stop for over an hour.
He told me you came by our office bleeding and you didn't even say hello to me.
You weren't there.
I was there. He wanted to keep you all to himself. Well, I guess he wants to keep us separate so we can link up.
Yes, exactly. Divide and conquer. Yes. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. This nosebleed would not stop. I was trying to go to Penn Station, and it was getting worse and worse. I'm bleeding, like, literally.
You wouldn't be the only person bleeding at Penn Station, which is nice. There's usually open bleeders.
It would just be, I'd be the guy. I'd be one of the three guys bleeding as he was just like, track 9? Okay, let's go. Like, so, but I didn't know what to do. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm near where... near where the Gethard studios are, and I'm just like, Fred, you gotta help me out, please, Fred. And he's like, what's up, brother? He like picks up, he's like, and I'm just like, Fred, I'm like,
Fred, my nose won't stop bleeding, I need to go somewhere.
He's like, I gotcha. And he gets me, he meets me there, he sweeps me up stairs, gets me, takes care of me, starts literally cleaning. He's like, let's get your hands clean. I tell you, this guy went to the mat. I'll go to the mat for this guy. I goof on him and I tease him. It's because I love him. And but that's a good guy. That's a top notch guy, man.
Definitely one of the first people I'd call if I had to hide a human body.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he'd have options.
Yeah, he'd be like, you want to go to the pig farm or are we doing the river on this one? How long do you want to drive?
Oh my God! Let's take a couple calls and then I know you got a boogie at some point, right?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Best show.
Hello, Tom. It's Daniel.
Daniel.
In Los Angeles.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Daniel?
Am I the first person to ask if they can talk to the Gregulator's brother?
Ouch.
That's a compliment.
He's loving that a little too much, I'm going to tell you that.
But I love him.
I love him, too. He's my blood. He's my only sibling.
So what are you? Are you a big fan of him, Daniel?
Yeah, I think he's maybe the funniest person on the planet.
I think so, too.
That's fair. He's up there.
Like, I just looked at his Facebook page, and...
Is this the guy? Is this the e-cigarettes guy? Is this him, Mike? No.
Nervous.
Oh, it's Daniel. Daniel. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey. Oh, hi.
Hey, Daniel. How are you? I know
I'm great,
this Daniel.
Hey.
What's up, Daniel?
I've been wanting to call in for a while, and I finally have a night off to do that.
I thought it was. I see a Philly thing on the phone line. I'm just like,
oh yeah, I still have a Philadelphia cell phone.
Now I'm just, I see e-cigs for legs. Guys got me. I see him everywhere now. Everything. Because then 2 weeks ago, somebody's like, you know, you hung up on the e-cigs for legs guy without even meaning. And I was like, that was him. So look, I know who you are, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, but I have to tell you, I don't know who the e-cigs for legs guy is. I'm sorry. It's been a while. I've been a little off the grid, and I hope you're good.
He's just a guy who calls, and everything he says, he'll say a dumb, he'll start telling me a story, and then everything bleeds, and he just goes, and then it turns out the guy had e-cigs for legs, and then hangs up.
Gotcha. Okay.
So don't worry. You're not him.
Okay.
The Gregulator.
I'm nervous. Daniel said my brother put something on Facebook and then was in a panic about what that could be.
He just posted a photo of his foot with blood on it. I broke a bottle of champagne and cut my foot while doing stand-up comedy on a yacht.
Yeah, he did that last night. He was on a yacht doing stand-up and decided to christen the yacht and smashed a bottle of champagne to christen the yacht and cut himself to shreds.
Well, it reminded me of my favorite thing ever, which you guys have talked about before, when he threw the chalk in the air.
Yeah.
The powder.
Oh.
That's
like
one of the
things. He did a LeBron James thing while doing stand-up.
Oh, God.
His LeBron James moment.
That's the incident I talk about in Lose Well in the book.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I've told so many people about that.
It was a disaster.
If there was a way, Chris, you could record... You could get something that you saw with your eyes that was not filmed.
Yeah.
You could get, like, video of it.
Yeah.
And you have three things you can pick.
It would be number one.
That would be number one. Of everything you've seen.
Tom, I'm telling you, like, I write about it in the book. I was at a stretch in my life where I was very, very caught up in career. Why isn't it happening for me? Why isn't it happening for other people? Pure ego. And then I go to Philly. I see my brother do this nonsense, and I'm like, that right there is art for art's sake, man.
Yeah.
Zero concern about anything, anyone's opinion of it. He's just doing it because it's what his gut is telling him to do.
Yeah.
And, guys, can I stop you for 1 second?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Sorry. And also, on top of that, the financial guru character that he's doing is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yes.
So truly bonkers.
Him as a financial guru.
Did I
tell you? His book title is the funniest thing.
Cash Dad, Trash Dad.
I love it so much.
You know, Tom, he really goes. He lives in Philly. Uh-huh. And to research the financial guru character, he'll, like, find out about, like, these real estate seminars, like these get-rich-quick things.
Yeah.
And he'll, like, go to some hotel in Cherry Hill and, like, go sit in the boardroom that these guys rent and put on their seminars. And he goes and sits there all day. And he just soaks it in and, like, takes notes.
Oh, he's so – there. It's like he's the real deal.
He's like an outsider artist, though.
Yeah.
He's doing a thing now. He just announced it yesterday where he's taking acting classes.
Uh-huh.
Specifically so that anyone who wants to can just write a monologue that he will then go perform on stage. So if you want to write a monologue...
He'll just do it.
He'll go do it.
All right.
I hope that doesn't turn into like a Barry situation.
He's going to be Barry. He's the Philly Barry. It'll be like when Barry franchises out the way like Walking Dead had Fear the Walking Dead. Or like CSI. If Barry expands out to Philly, Greg can be the Philly Barry.
He'll be Barry Cherry Hill.
Barry Hill. Well, Daniel, I will talk to you. Thank you for calling. It's good to hear from you.
And I just wanted to call and say that because I think that Greg is so funny. And Chris, I think you're a really funny guy too. And I see your face on every billboard in Los Angeles.
It's very annoying, and I'm quite sorry.
No, it's not annoying. It's amazing. I see your face above my dentist.
Wait, what are the
billboards?
For what? For the book?
For the Gethard Show.
No, they're still up everywhere.
And they're still up. I saw one. Someone sent me a great picture of a billboard of my face in some very desolate neighborhood, and underneath it was a flaming car. It's pretty great.
You know who's probably so mad at these billboards?
Who's that?
Adam.
Adam from Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
He got his own billboard.
But he's probably just like,
he's trying to ruin me.
This guy's show's not even on anymore.
Scheming out there trying to ruin me.
Yeah. What if he did that? What if he said to you, yeah, you see what I did to your show? I ruined it. How do you like it? Turns out he's like a supervillain. And he's just like the ruiner. Yeah. Adam, I ruined your show. And I'll say this, this Adam who does that show, seems like a very nice guy.
Yeah, I've known him for years.
The only problem I have is that Dudio claims he studied with him. What did you study with him? Improv? What? Adam, from Adam Ruins Everything. Dudio's like, yeah, I know Adam. I know Adam. And then I ask him on Twitter, I say, Adam, you know, this guy's never heard of him.
Wow.
Never heard of him.
Big time in him, though? Might be big time in him.
Said, I never heard of the guy.
Wow.
And he's, I think even they have some legal thing now going. Really? Like a 500 feet kind of thing.
Ooh. I think I saw him down at the end of the block.
I hear Mike. Mike loves it when Dudio gets the business. I never hear Mike laughs. It's like a child laughing at a balloon, like the purest, like the purest laughter you ever heard. Mike's just. All right, Daniel. We will talk to you soon.
Yeah, nice talking to you guys.
Take care, buddy.
Great hearing from you.
I'm back. Line two. Okay. Line two. Line two. Best show. Hi.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh my goodness! As I look at what are you? How are you calling so early? It's not 11:58. What's wrong, Fred?
I used to work late on Tuesday nights, but then I'm recently unemployed.
Ouch,
oh,
ouch.
I tell you, guy can't
ouch,
resist.
You nailed that, Fred.
He could turn everything into a weapon.
Now that I got nothing to offer, he can't, now that there's nothing to squeeze out of me, the knife goes right in the back.
This
huh, Fred?
Is Fred. This is how Fred rolls. First thing he sees going wrong with Gethard's show. Beep, boop, 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 boop. He's like, hello. Hey, Joe Firestone, what's up? It's Fred from Honolulu.
Yeah.
Right? Beep, boop, 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 beep, 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 boop. Hey, Julio Torres, what's going on? It's Fred from Honolulu. Fred's reading Variety, looking for he's over a Deadline, seeing who's got shows getting picked up, and then Fred.
Heard he's been bothering Joe Perro a lot lately.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But you know who Fred has always promoted to me? Connor O'Malley.
Oh, yeah.
Fred promotes Connor like you'd think that these two guys were Laurel and Hardy.
There's some palms getting greased there one way or the other.
Yeah.
I did stop work one time, and we made all the interns watch Connor O'Malley's Vine compilation.
Wait, when was this? Like, was this while you were working for me?
Yeah, it was like the rap week, I think. We weren't doing shit. So.
Oh, nice mouth, Fred. You've only been a fan of the show for...
A decade.
Now tell me, Fred, now that Chris is not your boss anymore, right? He can't hurt you anymore, Fred. He can't hurt you. What's one sneaky thing you guys were doing on the crew behind the boss's
Carmen
back?
Tom, you'll love this. Carmen Christopher caught this dude with a backpack full of snacks from the Crest Services table. Backpack full of snacks. Yeah. All those little unopened cereal boxes, Kind bars.
Straight up. Carmen and I used to work for a startup that will remain unnamed. And, you know, that was like my first year in New York. And Carmen caught me like just housing a bunch of like cleaning supplies. And Carmen's like, you can do that? And I'm like, yeah, dude.
Carmen showed me. He walks me over to Fred's backpack one day. He goes, look in there. It's full of our snacks.
Yeah. Fred's jamming everything into a Hack My Life backpack. Right? Just walking around with his Those Who Can't t-shirt and his Carbonaro windbreaker.
I am drinking out of a Carbonaro Effect mug that used to be on Chris's desk.
I was going to say that I had one of those in my office.
So yeah.
I've been looking for that.
Fred.
What's up, Tom?
first of all, you know I love you, buddy. You know that.
Mm-hmm. So you called me a fraud.
Now look, it's one facet of you. It's one facet. I love you, though. So what is a thing that the boss didn't know went down on the show that you could tell him now?
I don't know.
What's one thing? What did you do? What did you do? You poke his sandwich with your finger. What did you do? Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, you drop his sandwich every once in a while, right? Give it a little panini treatment, right? Panini treatment with your shoe.
I will say, if I'm going to be real, like a real incident, someone sent a company-wide email about the times how long it was taking us to use the bathroom. Remains nameless.
That was me.
And
that was me. You're talking about me. I flipped out one.
So we all started. We all started. It's gross, but we all started timing ourselves on who could take the fastest dump.
This is true. There were a handful of people, and admittedly myself among them, who are just long. We had one stall in the whole office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was one day where I had a meeting to go to, and someone was in there for about 40 minutes, and I couldn't run across the street to do it, and I did send out a very, very manic... Fred can tell you, an email that was a glimpse into my mental illness, for sure, which everyone, as soon as they read it, was not even upset or mad that I had gone off the handle, but I have to assume merely concerned for my health.
The show's not going to be around much longer.
So I'm like, guys...
See that email.
Other people have to use the bathroom, and if you're going to take a long time, you got to go across the street. Here's the bathroom code across the street. This is unacceptable. Sitting there for 35 minutes while all of us are waiting. And I could just feel instantly that every word immediately spread. That I could tell immediately someone else of authority sent out a follow-up email instantly that was like, guys, he's having a really hard week.
Mm-hmm. No one said that either. No one sent a follow-up email.
Yeah, you and Royce time in yourself so you can laugh at me.
All right, Fred. Fred.
Yo.
What's going on? When am I going to see you next?
What's up, man? You're busy, dude.
You know what's a crazy thing is, like, I read online and some people are like, Fred's the worst caller.
Yeah, Fred's the king.
Fine.
People are just like, I can't stand when Fred calls. And I just like, and I just want to say to those people, and there's plenty of them. There's a fair amount of them.
Yeah,
I want to say to them.
Yes.
No, they're not actually. You'd be stunned. You'd be stunned, Fred. You are somebody. Strangely enough, you transcend all races and genders and everything. Age. There's a few people in every demographic and that don't like when you call.
I love it.
But I love it. That's what I want to say. First of all, stop writing me about it. The guy doesn't call that often. Secondly, yeah, I know the calls sometimes are a little bizarre and troubling. But that's the appeal of this guy. That's the appeal. And then you just got to love him. I love you, Fred.
I love you, too.
All right, buddy. You have a great night.
You have a good night.
Oh, yeah.
Hung up on him partway through.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, buddy. You got to hit it.
I do. Got to go ply the trade.
Lose Well is the book, and I can't wait to see this book.
Thanks,
and I can't wait to read this book.
You're thanked in the back of the book. Ooh. Did I mention that?
You hear that, Mike? Thanked. I can't. Thank you. And you know, when fortune smiles on me someday and I put my own book together, I hope it can come anywhere. It can be just live on I could be proud enough to put it next to your book. Because your book is so funny and something I've enjoyed so much and I've given copies as gifts.
Thanks,
and I can't wait to see the next chapter. And I want to see the next chapter of all of it, because you're one of my favorite people, and you.
Thanks, dude.
It is always an exciting adventure.
Very likewise. The same feelings back at you. Mm-hmm. I want the next chapter to be about me helping the next batch, though. All these angry young rebels who still have that fire in them. I want to see what they can do.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the next chapter.
You'll be there. You'll be there with them, and they look and they're just like, that dude ran hot, but he got it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
All right.
It was great hanging out, Tom.
Thanks,
thanks for having
thanks
me.
For
thanks
coming.
For letting me
of
hang
course.
Out so long. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. And I'll, I'm going to play a record and then we'll come back on and we'll do more of the best show. And, let's play something. I'm going to play something. I haven't played this in a while from, I'm going to play something from my friend, you know, let's play something from KV. Haven't heard this in a while. Never Run Away. Best Show back in a minute. Hi, everybody. I'm back. Thanks to Chris Gethard for coming by. That was fun, right, Mike? Yeah, Mike likes the Port Authority stories. He's a big fan of mass transit. AP Mike. So, just heard from Kurt Vile. From an album from a few years ago. The album which was Waken on a Pretty Days. From 2013. That was so long ago. 2013. Never Run Away on Matador Records. He's got a new record coming next month, maybe, right? Can't wait. New Kurt Vile. Very excited. Got a new, some new Lana Del Rey showed up. This is the best. Right? This is the best. The phone number 201-332-3484. Want to remind everybody, the Friends podcast is, there's new episodes going up over at Patreon, which is the only way you can support the best show financially. We don't have no ads no more. Some buffoon called me out because I called me out. Can you imagine? I wrote something about Nike because, like, we're in this weird time now where Nike is being considered like their heroes of something because they're on the, because they're back, they're rightfully backing Colin Kaepernick, but they're still a, one of the worst companies on the planet. And I wrote something about Nike sucks or something. And look, the guy wants to call me out. He's like, "Boo, you did the best show." See, I'm doing that voice now that when you do a part, but this is fitting in this case. Guy's like, "I guess you had no problem doing those commercials for the show for years, whoring yourself out." It's like, what? I was reading Squarespace ads. That versus like child labor for a, yeah, they've enslavement. You want to call me out? Look, I did that. They call me out because I did the Derek Jeter commercial. You call me out on that? Yeah, it's fair. I shouldn't have, I did it. I'm happy I did it. I didn't have a job at that point and needed some money. They asked me to jump in on the commercial. I jumped in. Got paid a little bit of money. I didn't have a job at that point. Needed the scratch. Is that an excuse? And secondly, I'll say this. I did that commercial. If two people bought Nike products based on me being in that thing, I'll eat my hat. The Yankee hat I had. I'll eat it. No one bought. Oh, well, Tom was wearing a Yankee. I'm going to go buy some Yankees. Oh, such a huge Yankees fan. You guys all know my love of the Yankees, right? No. No, I did not move the needle at all. I Robin Hooded that thing. Took their money. Let me keep doing the best show. Do good stuff. I'm a good guy, right? I'm all right. I'm a good guy. I try to do the best. I'm trying. That's all you can do. Guyly.
Oh, you did the commercials. You got no problem with that.
What? Am I supposed to keep losing money on doing this show? I lost money for 13 years doing it. WFMU. Great time, great show. I'm doing the show and watching river of money roll right by me, and I can't even stick a ladle in it. Like, dying of thirst, I'm watching a river roll by. Not now. Huh. Is it a river? Hey, we do well. We do well here. I'm happy. Everybody gets paid something. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Austin from Vancouver Island.
Who's this now?
Austin from Vancouver Island.
Austin from Vancouver Island. Ooh, sounds very exotic.
Yes.
What's going on Vancouver Island tonight?
Well, they're filming a movie here, which is Sonic the Hedgehog, and I honestly cannot believe this is actually a thing.
I know who's playing Sonic the Hedgehog in that movie.
Do you? Are you friends with him?
I'm not friends. I read it on the computer box. Jim Carrey.
No, well, Jim Carrey's playing apparently
the
evil
guy. I think he's a villain. He's
like
a bad guy in it.
Pet Detective meets Scott Pilgrim meets Space Jam. This movie's going to be ridiculous. Like, who wanted this?
No one. That's who. No one wants it.
Like, this is. I can't believe this is actually a thing. Now, I'm picturing this blue character running down the streets of Ladysmith, collecting toonies off the ground.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Hey, you can't catch me." Right?
Yeah, exactly. And Jim Carrey's supposed to be this evil guy that's picturing Pet Detective chasing him. I just can't believe they're actually making this.
I can't wait. And I know you're pumped secretly. You're going to be out in front of that theater. This will be you, well, too, for Sonic the Hedgehog, please. That'll be you.
Well, it's possible I've already bought him 5 tickets for the premiere date, but yeah. I wasn't going to tell anyone that, but yeah. I did it.
So what's the deal with Vancouver Island? I know nothing about Vancouver Island. Tell me more.
Vancouver Island, it's where all the hippies go who can't deal with Vancouver. And why?
What about Vancouver is something that people can't deal with?
You know, I actually really enjoy Vancouver. I just think everyone that wants to come here and complain of the fact that they have to catch a ferry to get to Vancouver. And, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. We're like this weird hippie nation that none of us know what actually is going on. I mean, I live in Nanaimo, so we're just this harbor city, but no
you
one.
You live in Nanaimo?
No one eats fish.
What? Where do you live?
It's called Nanaimo.
Like, oh, I thought you said you live. I thought you said you live in an IMAX. Like an IMAX theater.
Yeah, I wish I had an IMAX in town. That would actually, can you imagine watching Sonic the Hedgehog in an IMAX?
Imagine it. I'm anticipating it. This will be me the day that movie comes out. 30 for Sonic the Hedgehog. IMAX 2D, please.
Well, you're even going to go the 2D route.
Yeah, we're going to see 3D. What are
you not a fan of the 3D movies, Tom?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because I'm not 11. So I kind of got past seeing the things in 3D.
I feel like Sonic is going to be the movie that brings back the old red and blue glasses.
All right, you're out of here. You're just saying things to hear your own voice now. I can't handle. You think it's going to be the movie. No, you don't. There's a new thought. It's sick. You're a blight on Vancouver and Vancouver Island, my friend. I like you. I'm worried about the community at large, though. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this, am I on the air?
You are. That's why I said best show.
Oh, hello, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Brad in Detroit, Michigan.
Brad in Detroit. What's up tonight, Brad?
Well, I'm just hanging out here listening to the show with my cat, Zola, and I had a Kurt Vile question for you.
All right, let's hear it. I'll do
well, I was listening to the new single, how do I say it? Is it
Bass Ackwards?
Bass Ackwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded, I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounded like he was maybe talking about you in one of the lines.
No comment.
No?
No comment.
What, he said something like, talking to my friend on the radio, there was no format because we like it that way.
Well, do you think that's about me?
You know, that's how I took it, yeah.
So you took it that way, eh? So that'd be the third time I mentioned on a KV record, huh? Red apples for Tom Sharpling, and then there's the song Blue Cheese, and then there's this one. Oh, I don't know.
I think that, good art just kind of like flocks together. Does that make sense?
Good art flocks together. That's what, I always say, good art flocks together. So what's going on out there in Detroit? You're in Detroit proper, or you just say it's Detroit even though you're like 60 miles away?
I've been in Detroit proper for about 15 years, yeah.
What's your least favorite city going here, my friend? Like what city
like
does Detroit?
Across the world? Or?
Yeah, like what city do the people of Detroit are just like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
You know, it would, honestly, I think it might be like the developers of New York who want to come in and buy stuff here.
You think so?
You know, yeah, we're not really fond of that.
And what's going on there? Is it like it's overrun by like plants now? What? Like?
Oh yeah, there's just wild forests and packs of dogs running around.
No, I mean, not like that. I mean, it's, I know it's not, this is not, I Am Legend, but it's like, there's certain stretches of the city where nature, like, has kind of reclaimed, like a factory or whatever that has been, fallen into disuse. Is that true?
You know, yeah, I would say that is true.
And do you like, is it beautiful to see these buildings get pulled down by vines and?
You know, I actually think it is, yeah.
Well, good, that's, I agree.
I love riding my bike through wild stuff.
Now, the show Detroiters, where do you land on that show? What do you think of the Detroiters?
You know, I've only seen a few episodes, but I do like it. They film frequently at a bar that I actually like to hang out at.
I love that show.
And that's pretty cool.
I love it. You and I, we're hitting it off tonight.
I'm really excited. I'm actually super nervous, but
you relax. Who couldn't relax when somebody goes relax, right? Who couldn't just feel their shoulders just kind of all the tension fall out of it when somebody goes relax.
My cat looks pretty relaxed right now. She's lying on the floor right now, in a sprawl.
You got a cat. I get it. How many times are you gonna name drop your cat?
What's
your cat's name, by the way? Let me see if I can guess. Sprinkles? Sprinkles?
No.
Sparkles? How close am I?
Definitely two syllables, that's correct.
Blockhead? Give me a hint.
You know, maybe sometimes I could use that.
Give me a hint. I'm going to get your cat's name.
She's the name of a woman singer on Sacred Bones Records.
Well, I don't know.
Sings in kind of an operatic style.
Who? I don't know. Who?
Her name is Zola.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's a nice name. All right, you're weirdly zoning out on me. Get off my phone. 201-332-3484. That's the number if you want to call the best show. I go out there. They got the pizza out there. And look, it was Dudio's birthday pizza. Mike clearly inserted himself into the pizza ordering decision making, because they ended up with what Dudio called a compromise pizza. Because Dudio wants the high end pizza. He likes this high end, and it's good pizza. I love it. But that's what he wants. Mike wants pizza. He would, if Mike had his druthers, would be ordering pizza from a middle school that would bring the pizza over in little heat bags, like when you're in seventh grade in the cafeteria. Mike had his druthers. That's the way we'd be getting the pizza. And then one of those three packs of chocolate chip cookies. Yes, that's right, Mike. Yeah. What was the brand? Linden's? Something like that. Some garbage. New Jersey garbage cookie. Right? Yeah. So they ended up with compromise pizza. Something in between, and none of them are happy. Dudio's birthday pie was below his standard. This pizza was too fancy for Mike. No one was happy. The Neville Chamberlain of pizza tonight, right? As he said, there will be pizza in our time. I'm not dumb. I can make history jokes. Best Show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. I know this voice. This guy. Let me just tee this guy up. Tonight is a night of legends. Apparently, it's Legends Night on the Best Show. Fred from Honolulu. And now this guy. Actually, it's not that many legends.
No, this is the nadir of the legend portion of the show.
Because this guy, he is a proud resident of the fine state of Alabama. And he makes his way through life. And he's got only two things are important to him at this point in his life. Peppy his dog, his beloved dog, Pepe, and his beloved football coach, Nick Saban. How did you not name your rename Pepe Saban? How did you not just say, Pepe, I got to break the news to you. Your name's not Pepe anymore. It's Saban.
Well, if he was a more aggressive dog, he's basically a rabbit.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, you know, human beings have managed to turn gray wolves into rabbits. That's one of our greatest achievements as a species. If he was more aggressive, I might have named him Saban.
If your dog drank Diet Coke.
If my dog cursed at me when everything was going sort of okay, but not okay enough, then he would just scream at me, then I would name him Saban.
Now, what's up with this thing? You can give some perspective on this thing. For the last month or so, I've been playing a clip of this guy, Harbaugh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying this thing about drink all the milk.
Ugh.
It goes a little something like this.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. First of all, I'll say this. Anybody gets that tattooed on themselves, you do not get rewarded for the show. You will be excommunicated from the best show.
Restraining order.
Yeah, I will get a restraining order against you. I will make it so you cannot listen to the show. I want no part of you. If anybody goes and gets...
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Tattooed on their any part. I don't want to see it tattooed anywhere. The worst would be if you got it tattooed on your little belly. That would be the worst. If somebody like comes up to me, hey, Tom, I want to show you something. And they pull their shirt up, and they show me their little belly, and it says, milk holder. What if it says, milk holder? Actually, no, I'm revising this. That's the only way you are safe. If you do that, you move up to the pantheon of, you're in the Best Show Hall of Fame. If you get on your belly, milk holder tattooed.
And it has to be as much tattoo as your little belly can hold.
Yes.
It has to be a gigantic tattoo.
Yes. Now, when you heard that, were you just like, at least our guy screams at everyone and drinks diet soda?
Yeah.
He's not promoting milk. He's promoting Diet Coke and just humiliation.
Yeah. He's like a Conan-like figure.
Does it seem like he enjoys anything?
He smiles once a year when they win a national championship. He smiles for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. He's like that drip who coaches the New England Patriots. You should see this guy. It's like if a bag of leaves got hit by lightning and came to life. Like if somebody was raking leaves and threw a Patriots jacket on top of them, like a Patriots windbreaker.
It's like Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah. If Frosty the Snowman happened in the fall, and it was just a pile of leaves with a Patriots jacket on it.
And he's always like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it's always like, Coach, we want to ask you about the thing. Oh, I'm just interested in trying to make sure this week we play as hard as we can. I'm focused on this week's game, and that's all I'm focused on is this week's game. Coach, can we ask about the fact that you hired a guy who is a murderer to coach? I'm actually more focused on this week's game. That's really what I want to talk about is we're playing the Jaguars. I want to talk about that Jaguars. Coach, anything that your star quarterback seems to be in some weird health cult? I'm looking to just talk about we're playing the Jaguars this week, and I really want to.
That sounds like him, right, Mike? Right? Yeah, thanks. Mike gets it. Mike cheers me on with these impressions. The rest of them, not so much. After the show's over, Dudio and Pat will probably come up to me and go like, hey, it's a couple notes on the show tonight.
Can we give you some notes? So, yeah. This guy seems like that. This Nick Saban. He seems like he's not happy. Ever. Like, why do anything if you're that unhappy? Wait, who am I talking about now? Them or me? I forgot for a second. Wait. If you're completely miserable all the time, but you show up week after week to do the thing,
and you yell at the people under you.
You do nothing but belittle the people who are you're working with every week, and you're just generally is a low level resentment at the audience. What? Wait, who am I talking about now? A football coach? I'll say I'm
Are you drinking the Diet Coke is all I have
to You ask. Wanna know what I am? Oh no. What have I become? I know what I've become. A football coach. Well, ask me a question, Jason. We'll see if how this fits okay. me now.
What's your strategy for your next game?
No, ask me a question as if it's me, not a football coach.
What's your strategy for the next episode?
Well, I really just want to focus on next week's best show and see if we can just try to put the best show together that we can and really just compete for 3 hours and see if we can just do a show that that we come away with a win. Next question. Ask me another question. Come on, ask me another question.
Okay,
ask me a question I won't want to answer.
Okay. Is it true that there's going to be some changes on your staff?
I really just want to keep focusing on next week's best show and try to do the best show we can for 3 hours and really just try to come up with the win. Next question. All right, thanks, everybody. And then that wrap-up. And the other thing, these football coaches, I always love that the advertising behind them is the funniest thing. What's the guy I'm doing the thing of, Mike? Lancelot? What's his name? Herbie Lant? What is it? What? Yeah. Belichick. I don't know why I said Herbie Lancelot. Where did that come from? It's like you put that guy in front of a thing that has Dunkin' Donuts on. It seems like a warning against Dunkin' Donuts. Like, it seems like the competitors would take that out and put him in front of a thing. Like, now you're associating this sentient pile of leaves with just these donuts. You're like, yeah, you know what? I actually don't think I want to eat that donut now. I think I'm okay. So down in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
What's going on down there? What's up, Jason?
Well, I will tell you this. I pre-ordered Mr. Chris Gethard's book this evening.
Well, that's fantastic. That's nice.
Because one thing I've been trying to do lately is there's all these things that you say, I'm going to do that. Like, whatever it is. Oh, I'm going to do that. And I'm a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, like, my brain kind of tricks itself into thinking I've done it almost if I say, I'm going to do it. And then sure. The brain's like, okay, we can now check that off the list. So there's all kinds of things that I've wanted to do that I'll go, oh, that's a good idea. I should do that. So now I'm at the point now that I'm probably, you know, just if you run the actuary tables, closer to not being alive than being alive, you know, at this point, I'm on the slope.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's time to start to not. It's time to just like do a thing when you think about doing it. Especially
sure.
if it's to support someone who you're impressed with and who is fighting. So there you go.
No, I got you. That's
especially it's nice for someone because there's other things I try to do that are force people who I've thought about. Oh, I want to, you know, do something nice to that person or whatever. And you just need to do it. Mm-hmm. Like don't get yourself off the hook.
by thinking about it. And now I'm a good person because I thought about it.
Look, I had a thing that reminded me. This is when I was a kid, my daddy, he worked. And he was working, and he always talked about he's going to get a fishing boat, right? And he was going to retire and get this fishing boat and go fishing every day, tell my mama lies. And then right before he got that fishing boat, he passed away. And then when that happened, I decided right then and there I was going to go for it each and every day. No matter what happened, I was going to go for it.
I made up my mind right then. I was going to go for it.
And you have to remind yourself, too, because then you'll get complacent and forget.
I was going to go for it.
Or I will, you know. Just.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same, you know, when my father passed away not long ago, your father passed away. And that puts that thing in perspective.
Yeah.
When that's like the most cliche thing in the world to say, but it's absolutely true.
I do want to say, Jason, to be fair, though, not to disgrace either of our fathers. I took that speech from the movie Cannonball Run. that was Burt Reynolds' character.
I took my speech that I just said from Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, there you go. Yeah, see that?
Yeah. This was in tribute to Burt Reynolds.
The late, great Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, yeah.
You know, that movie, that movie might be cursed if you think about it. Jerry Reed, Burt Reynolds, Jackie Gleason, they're all gone. They're all gone. I think that might be one of these Three Men and a Baby situations or Poltergeist, where it's just one of these cursed movies. The other one that was cursed like that was the horror movie A Ghost Story. I don't know if you remember the movie from 1980, Ghost Story. The four lead actors in that movie are no longer with us. What are the odds that a movie made starring Fred Astaire, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Melvin Douglas, and John Houseman, those four leads, they're not with us anymore. That movie was cursed.
Yeah.
Four. If one of them was gone, sure, that's the odds. That's just playing the odds. Two of them, a little suspicious. Three, I don't know. All four of them.
That's what happens when you talk to ghosts.
I tell you.
They'll get you.
If somebody would bust these ghosts. That's where you can only write someday. If only there were four men that would bust these ghosts, we'd be, boy, would we be in good shape then. Right? You know how I feel about the Lady Ghostbuster thing? That movie's not good. You know why it's not good? Because that dude directed. He didn't know what he was doing directing that thing. He was overmatched. He was out of his league. Didn't know how to put special effects together. Don't blame it on them. You blame it on the Clown Town. What are that guy's name?
Tom, there's never been a bad movie that had men in it.
Well, that's true. Look, I like women. I like men. I like everybody. Everybody's great. We're all here together. All of us. You know who I don't like? You know who I don't like?
Who's that?
Snakes. Snakes.
Who was that?
Snakes. I don't like snakes.
Oh, snakes.
Yeah.
My peace with snakes.
I'm like Pee-wee in that way. I don't like snakes. Pee-wee did not like snakes. Pee-wee Herman.
But he saved them.
What's the best line from Pee-wee Herman, his thing? His movie? A hint is he doesn't say it.
I know what your favorite line from that movie is.
What is that?
Fruit, please.
That's right. Fruit, please. I get it. Now I'm going to search. Do you think if I type in Pee-wee, fruit, Pee-wee, not weak, fruit, please, do you think some idiot pulled a clip of this?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not playing this commercial. Hold on. Weird commercial. I don't know what this is a commercial for. What do I got to do? Get YouTube red? Is that what gets rid of these commercials? Right? Mike? He doesn't know. Hold on. Let's jump ahead.
Mr. Buxton?
Here we go.
Here, would you care for some gum?
Oh, I messed it up. This dumb new computer.
Prayed said all day.
This matter, do we, Mr. Buxton? I mean, it was a simple mistake, and I'm really sorry.
Well, but I still think that you owe Francis an apology. And then I want to see the two of you shake hands.
I'm sorry, Francis.
All right, this is pretty funny.
Here, would you care for some gum? Would you care for some, Mr. Buxton?
Oh.
Spearmint or fruit?
Fruit, please.
Well, goodbye.
All right, that's... Ah, so Jason, my friend.
Yes, sir.
How are the how's the Alabama blood elephants doing?
Well, I mean that they were playing kind of sacrificial lambs mm-hmm. up until last week, and they trounced Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they continue to trounce.
Yeah, because then you get that one moment of glory.
Well, look. Talk about, I mean, we've talked briefly about how Alabama and New Jersey are kind of both, you know, looked down upon by folks who aren't Alabama and New Jersey. So that's the thing we have. I actually got in a conversation with a lady from Canada about Alabama football the other day, which was odd.
A lady from Canada, you're talking about
Alabama. Yeah, in the context of my job, because we were just starting to talk. She's from Montreal, and we were talking about Montreal, and she asked me where I was from, and she said, well, you don't even have an NFL team down there.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know, we do have, you know, objectively
the best college sports
college team.
Yeah. And what did you say to her? Yeah, what are you going to cheer on, the Argonauts of the CFL?
Yeah,
right?
I didn't. My Canadian football league knowledge is not that deep.
You knew a place for the Argonaut or for the Montreal team? Johnny Football!
Oh. Ah.
Yeah. All right, my friend.
Okay.
I wish you
have
nothing.
A good night.
You have a great night.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I made up my mind right then. I was going to go for it. I mean, everything I wanted. I was going to go for it right then. Because you never know when something's going to happen to you.
Words to live by, huh, Mike? And I feel like if people are on the bubble about ordering your calendar, you got to go for it, right? Right now, go for it. Order the calendar. Mike will sign it. If you pledge a certain amount of money, he'll put his phone number in the line in the emergency contact. Bashow. Hello.
Professor Shopling.
Oh my goodness. Look at this. It's All-Star Night. It's All-Star Night. I know who this is. BB from Las Vegas. How are you?
I can't stand it. How are you?
I'm good. What can't you stand?
Oh, things are going well. Things are going much better.
Good. Any hot news about your favorite band?
You know, I got an email tonight. I haven't been able to open it. I think I'm going to just leave that one for the morning after I've had coffee.
Sure.
But, yeah, I did get something.
Your favorite band is Alphaville.
Yeah. I'm gonna relaunch the you know what, that novel. I finished it and I'm done. I'm going to move on.
Great.
I have things.
You did it.
I have things. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you did it.
I did it. I blasted that turkey out, and I got another turkey to follow it up.
You wrote it a book. Right? You wrote it a book.
I did. And I'm going to start another one in a little while. I have to, I promised.
Man, I got to get some of that focus. Ain't got it. Ain't got it, BB.
Ink, man. Ink that. Or tattoo it, but I'm running out of space. I was a much heavier girl in younger days. There'd be a lot more stuff to write on. I wanted to catch up with you about topics and stuff for the last few weeks because I had a contribution to, a celebrity encounter, and it was not once but twice.
Well, let's hear it.
A gentleman has passed away since, so this is fun stuff.
Okay.
It's Larry Linville.
Larry Linville, who people probably know as Frank Burns on MASH, right?
Correct. Yeah, he came to our college and spoke about, this is what he did. He spoke about his experiences on MASH, and apparently he's classically trained over in Britain and everything, but God only knows what he did with it, because Larry's Larry, you know? What you see is what you get, and that's pretty much on two encounters. Up in Buffalo, I got Frank, Fun Frank, and down in Philadelphia, I got Officious Frank.
So you got two sides of the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the one time you met him, he was nice.
Nice. You want to say nice, he slapped me on the ass.
Well, that's
and I
nice.
Really didn't like that.
No. Well, that's...
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
That's my trigger. I can't quite remember what it was. It's like, hey, Larry, you get one free. And that was it.
That was it.
That was it. And then I moved to Philadelphia, and I'm tooling down South Street, and there he is standing out in front of the Copacabana with his wife. And this is Mr. Linville. He goes, yes, that's me. I said, we've met. And it was really, really uncomfortable.
Oh, I love it. I love it. The rat, right? The rat. That's terrible.
Yeah.
What a rat.
Oh, he's a rat. He's,
yeah.
An officious, this is for Tavy. An officious prick. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
No, you did a pretty good job of it. But that, so that's your celebrity. Your celebrity encounter is Larry Linville, and it was more of, well, more not as so much of an encounter as what would you call that? What would we call that?
That was
harassment. Harassment. What would he look? What would make anyone think that was ever fair game?
I was talking trash with him about 60s television. Because mm-hmm. Joanne Linville, who'd been on Star Trek a number of times, she plays Romulans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cousin of his. And I said, what ever happened to her? He goes, she's a flake. She's like way up north now.
Mm-hmm.
Still alive, apparently. And said something about, made some reference about Martin Landau and Barbara Bain being on the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island, and he thought that was amusing.
Yeah, they all can't be, everybody can't play a buffoon, an army buffoon.
Yeah, a well-compensated once-a-week buffoon.
Yeah, and look, you end up on with the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. Look, who wouldn't want to hang out with either? Well, look, the cast of Gilligan's Island, I'd want to hang out with the Harlem Globetrotters, though, right? Curly Neal?
Sure.
Metal Arc
Lemon? I want to hang out with Bob and, what's her name? Dawn Wells. She's a darling.
Yeah, Dawn Wells, or you hang out with, what's his face there? Herman, no, that's the Munsters. Thurston Howell III.
Oh, Jim Backus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's some stuff on YouTube of his. It's just borderline bad taste.
I never took the Jim Backus deep dive. The
no.
Jim Backus YouTube deep dive. Mike, this is your homework for the week.
Oh, boy.
I want you to watch 14 hours of Jim Backus footage on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Look for delicious. I said it the wrong. just look for delicious.
All right, Mike? You hear that?
I feel filthy already.
You watch all this. I want you to watch Delicious by Jim Backus on YouTube. On top of the 14 hours of Jim Backus you were previously assigned.
Can I recommend someone to follow on Twitter? I don't know this person.
Sure.
It's called I've Pet That Dog. It's this kid.
Oh, I like that.
Gideon. He's like 12 years old.
You retweet him, don't you?
Oh, copiously.
Because that's how I see his stuff, is because you're...
Yeah, he's just... Isn't he? He's just adorable.
It's a kid who goes around
petting... He wears the coolest t-shirts and he finds the coolest dog.
Yeah, and he pets dogs. And he takes pictures of it. And he puts a picture of him petting a dog up.
It's the best. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And few things do.
Well, when you find the things that make you feel good, you got to remember them so you can lean on them.
Right.
Right.
I have, what was it, about, oh, yeah, about Jim Harbaugh and his, all the your little belly can hold.
Yeah.
You babysit one of those kids, you've got all the hot, sour cottage cheese your little lap can hold.
I don't know what that means.
That's babysitting stuff, man. That is, you get a kid upset who's been drinking a lot of milk.
Yeah, then it comes back out.
It comes back up.
Mike. I want you to research that this week. Babies throwing up. So this week, your homework, 14 hours of Jim Backus footage, and then I want you to watch 6 hours of babies puking.
I got one for Mike that I promised him before, and I forgot to say it. This is, some people have violent last names like Spear Brittany, Trump Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Gore Jason.
Yeah. Violent.
Yeah.
Jason Gore. Right, Mike? It's bad news. You're a little wary of him. I don't know what it is, but Mike, look, I know you two come from different walks of life. You're a Jersey guy. He's a West Virginia guy. You got to find that common ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right, baby.
How close is, in fact, southern West Virginia from southwest Virginia?
Who knows?
As the crow flies.
But the thing is, it's hard to say because Dudio, they drove a tractor, and that's not so fast. It's like the straight story, driving a lawnmower all around town. Right?
Massey Ferguson. And I've hooked up with Greg Gethard on LinkedIn, and he's really into those ETFs, man. The guy likes danger.
Oh, he's the real deal.
He is so solid and so real. Yeah,
there's only one of them. There's only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully.
He's all ours.
The mold, they broke the mold with him. All right.
I love that expression.
I'm going to wrap it up. I got to go home.
All right, son. Thought I'd catch up with you after.
It was great to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, well, I've been here, man. Everything's going
good.
Just trying to get the house in order.
Stay strong. We need you strong.
You too.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Love you bunches.
I love you too. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
So, yeah. What do you think about that, Mike? Larry Linville. Sounds like a creep. Frank Burns. Ferret face. MASH. I remember Andy Kindler had a funny MASH joke where he was talking about MASH, and it's on the MASH channel. I was watching MASH. I didn't get the memo that MASH is not around anymore.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
everybody. Welcome to Couch Talk. This is the host of Couch Talk, Rich Asians, Crazy Rich Asians. How are you tonight? I hope everybody's having a good time. I just need to say a couple things at the top of the show. I am not Asian, first of all. My name is Richard. My first name is Richard. Asians is not exactly... My name is a variant on Asians, but I call myself Crazy Rich Asians. And I want to let you know about some couch deals that are available right now over at House of Couches. Pretty exciting deals on some sectionals. We got pretty thrilling. I want to let you know there's a three-piece sectional sofa made by Dane. Was $1,699.95. It's on sale for $1,649. We have that in stock. There's a Hartwell two-piece sectional sofa that was going for $999.95. We have for $969 even. And that is available in tan. There is a Soto modular corner chair. Not exactly a couch. Still on sale, was $449.95. On sale for $429. Back to the world of couches. A Romano four-piece leather sectional. It was $28.99.95. It's on sale. You save a whole lot of money. It's $27.99. Just want to say this is Couch Talk. This is Crazy Rich Asians here with you tonight, telling you all about the couch specials. Again, I am not Asian, of Asian descent, and I'm not affiliated with the movie either. I need to also make that clear. House of Couches is not in any way affiliated with the motion picture Crazy Rich Asians, but I am Crazy Rich Asians. And our prices are crazy here on these couches over at House of Couches. I'll let everybody know there's a Lagomo four-piece sectional. It was $24.49.90 and it is on sale for $23.69.90. That is available in gray and tan. Also want to say we are still honoring the price matching with Raymour & Flanigan. So if you find a deal at Raymour & Flanigan, please bring it in and come on in and say, Crazy Rich Asian sent me. I got a price matching here on a sofa. Like if you, I doubt you'd find a better deal than this, like for example, the, Hayden three-piece sectional, which, was at $15.49.95. We sell it at House of Couches for $14.99 on the dollar. And I doubt Raymour & Flanigan can swing those prices, but over here at House of Couches, you know you're in good shape with Crazy Rich Asians, and I can make the deals happen. And again, not affiliated with the motion picture in any way, shape, or form. And I am also not Asian. But when it comes to deals, I am most definitely crazy. And my name is Rich. So please, just come on by. And everybody who comes by this weekend to buy some new couches, just tell them Crazy Rich Asian sent you, and we'll give you a free pair of throw pillows that match your couch in one of the...
Alhambra Police. Okay, and your name, sir? D'Souza. Adriana.
Welcome back. Oh, shut up. How's everybody tonight? Here on Aw, Shut Up. We're talking about these sandwiches. They're always trying to push. You know what's getting, it's really getting to me now. This is Rex, by the way. And the phone number is 201-332-3484. And we're talking about sandwiches. And I just want to say, if I go in another place and they're trying to put some chipotle sauce on the sandwich, what is that? Oh, pink mayonnaise? I don't want that. I go into this place again, Jersey Mike's. I don't even know why I go in there anymore. But I go in the other day and they're like, would you like some chipotle mayo on it? And I'm like, did I say I wanted chipotle mayo on it? And the kid, this kid by the counter, it looked like he was 14. He's like, I don't know. I didn't figure that out. And I'm just like, you tell me you're going to do a thing, you're going to put, you got a sandwich with roast beef and cheese, and you're gonna put chipotle mayo on. I'm like, shut up. This soundboard crashes. I'm gonna
shut up.
There it goes. Oh, you listen to me, my sound guy, my engineer Claude. He's really dropping the ball on this. You're gonna get it, Claude. You're gonna get it. Hear me, Claude? You're gonna get it.
Oh, shut up.
201-332-3484. I want to talk about chipotle mayo tonight. Claude! Which lines are good? Alright, you're on with Rex. Welcome to Oh, Shut Up.
Hey, Rex, I got a question for you. We're in fall now, so Wawa is going to start doing their sandwiches with the mashed potatoes and the cranberry sauce.
Oh, don't get me started on this. What is it, Thanksgiving dinner? You're at a Wawa. They're pumping gas 30 feet away, and you're going to get, somehow you're mistaken for Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, I want my whole meal between two pieces of bread.
Yeah, between two pieces of cheap Wawa. But I go to this thing. And first of all, the Wawa bread used to be so much better back then. They made it fresh in the thing. Now they're dropping it off with some truck in the morning. I don't even know when.
I got to stick with the gobbler.
That's
the gobbler
coming.
Is the king of all sandwiches.
Nah, you need your head examined. You go to Wawa, you order the gobbler, and you go get a sandwich. What do you think? It's Thanksgiving? You can't wait till Thanksgiving?
Nah, shut up.
Nah, you shut up.
Shut up!
You're gonna tell me to shut up? You're the one who can't. You can't control yourself till Thanksgiving. He's gone. Of course he's gone. These people, they go, I gotta get Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, it's October 27th. You gotta have Thanksgiving. You can't wait a month. Yeah, God forbid Thanksgiving special at all. No, you gotta eat it. No, I'm not so hungry for turkey now, because I had it the other day in that gas station parking lot. Shut up!
Shut up! Shut! You're all right to take. Shut up! Will you shut up? Shut up! Shut up!
Shut up!
Ha ha ha! Shut up!
All right, the number's 201-332-3484. I was talking about chipotle mayo, but now we're talking about the gobbler. I want to talk about anybody that's ordered a Thanksgiving-themed sub. Claude, have you tried this chipotle mayo yet? You didn't know they had it. It's all over the menu. Would you pay attention when you go in there? You don't look at the thing. You go in there, you don't even look at the thing. You know, you drive me nuts. Shut up.
Oh, shut up.
You drive me nuts. You're not even looking at this sign. You go,
shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut your mouth.
201-332-3484. But if I go in the Wawa or any of these places, they see anybody order the gobbler or any kind of Thanksgiving dinner, oh, you better watch out. You better hold on to that thing tight when you're going through the door, because you might get a sub slap from old Rex. I'll knock that thing all over the parking lot. Don't think I won't sub slap you. You ever met sub slap Claude? Yeah, well, you better, if I catch you ordering a gobbler, you better get ready. You're gonna get sub slap. Can't believe this. Nobody's got a question for Rex. Show's already falling apart. Gonna get canceled. I'm telling you, though, if I catch you under the gobbler, you're in trouble.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
So, yeah, look, then it's like, you're going to tell me that this is the way you show up and this is the way you act for Rob. You got Robert Fripp is in the building. This guy's played on the most classic records ever, and you, flamp. That's how you yell at the guy? You don't show the guy a modicum of respect? It's really, it was a black eye on the people of Red Bank that night. It made me sad. It made me sad to see. Really. Shameful. Shameful, Mike. Want to let everybody know. Go get Chris Gethard's book. Thanks to Chris for coming down. Lose Well. You can order it over at chrisgeth.com. Pre-order it. You can help out The Best Show. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow, and we do all sorts of things. We got all sorts of audio up there that is exclusive to Best Show Patreon supporters, including Meet My Friends, The Friends, which there will be more episodes of. We will be doing more different things and having fun and trying to have fun for you and with you. And then, last but certainly not least, apmike.bandcamp.com. This dumb calendar. Everybody just buy it so I don't have to hear about this thing anymore. He brings one in as if he's hooking me up. I got a calendar for you. Oh, really? I only mentioned 700 times on the air. More power to him. I gotta love him. I love you, Mike. I know I might not show it sometimes, Mike. And you know, I know, maybe, you know, maybe I gotta just be a better person. A kinder person. Maybe I could be a better friend to you, Mike. Because, you know, you took it upon yourself to make this calendar, and you got all these talented artists involved, and everybody worked very hard on it. And you put your money into getting it made, and you guys just trying to make a buck. That's all. Is that a crime? I don't think so. But maybe I'm acting like it's a crime by putting him down when he's just trying to get by. That's on me. That's the kind of thing that makes me say, I think I can do better. And, you know, I'll try to do better, Mike. Because I see the work that went into this thing, and it's beautiful. These artists committed to it. They did the work. They made something special. And you put it together. And I should just tell everybody, you know what? You got to check this dumb calendar out that this guy put together. Look, does he turn my stomach? No, he doesn't. He's a great guy. That was a trick question. Of course he doesn't turn my stomach. Does he drive me up the wall? No, he doesn't. Another trick question. Yes, he's a great guy, and he made a calendar. Does the calendar revel in abject horror and depression? Yeah, it does. It's clearly a calendar made by somebody who's documenting the underbelly of life and the underbelly of Bayonne. I don't even know if there is an underbelly to Bayonne. I think Bayonne is the underbelly to other places. I don't know. I know this. I go into Bayonne. You can get gas. There's a place to fill your tank up nice. There's that one diner. I'm a little wary of that place because the car parks at an angle you can't look at it from the window while you're eating. Never comfortable with that. I gotta see my car from the diner window. But you know what? You go there and you know when you go to that 7-Eleven, you know that's a green 7-Eleven. Those solar panels are not for decoration. They're trying to change the world at 7-Eleven. One sandwich and one pre-wrapped pickle at a time. And when I see that, I say, you know what? This is why AP Mike is great. This is why you need to go to apmike.bandcamp.com. And if you go there, you buy the calendar, you're saying, AP Mike is my kind of guy. I like him. You know what else I like? I like America! Computer, I'm gonna throw you in the trash, but listen to this. Best show back next week.